Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Kim Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Yeah, good morning. Well, I guess in California, it's 11 o'clock, so it's still morning. This is a different time slot. I needed to come on the air. I won't have my morning crew, I guess, but I got to go on the air anyway. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. I am your host with Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, number one. Number one. We're going to go over a lot of things. If you'd like to come into the studio, I say the same thing. I give you the number. We have had a lot of new people come into the studio, and I thank them for it. The number that you can, the number you need to come in the studio is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. Top stories today that we'll be talking about is Tucker Carlson's leaked text exposed. You have something to say about that. And, you know, what's been going on, it's in California. I don't know if it's where you are. But millions and millions, if not billions of dollars, have been taken from people's credit cards. Some of you don't even know it. Some of you people who have EBTs, they've been attacking people with the EBT cards. I guess it's a state card or welfare card, whatever. And they can't get their money back. They're just taking money out of your accounts. And you're doing something. Yes, you are. You're doing something. Card skimming. We'll talk about that. And then we'll go with some news. Today will probably be a short show, but I needed to come up. And we're going to get to all that news and everything like that. I don't have a monologue. I'm not a comedian. But I open the show sometimes talking about something that happened to me that may happen to you that you can relate to. I was really hesitant to get a personal Facebook page. I got to. Personal. Business, but really hesitant to get a personal page. And the reason why is because I burned a lot of people. I have upset a lot of people, and mainly they're girls. That's it. You don't want to bring up anything that the past, even especially women, hold a grudge for years. So in the back of my mind, it was like, I don't know. But then again, the reason I did is because I wanted to keep up with the family and what's going on with the family things. And if anybody needs help, you know the thing. Keep up with your relatives that they moved or whatever. You know the deal. Well, so I have my personal page up. And this person, we did not get along. We almost hate each other. He is now a preacher, one of these, you know, small-time preacher. He turned into a preacher. But we fought. I already know the story. The story goes that I was in a history class. This is high school. History class. He was sitting in back of me. The desks were like that in a circle, and he was in back of me. I said something, and he pushed me hard, and desk went across the room. As you can tell, the people gasped, the teacher looked, and the teacher who was teaching at the time was my football coach. So he shoved me from the back. At that time, we were going to go to the library. So we went to the school library. All right, kids, get in line. We're going to the library. Nobody wants to go to the library. So we go to the library. I couldn't let it go. So we're at the library. I'm kind of staring at him, and he's kind of staring at me, and I wanted to jump over the desk. Nobody pushes me like that. Are you kidding me? I'm Brian Jackson. I'm on a football team, track team, whatever. That's a rep I got to have when you're in high school. It's a rep. I think I was a junior. So this guy gets up, goes to the teacher, who was the football coach at the time, goes to the teacher. Actually, I was a sophomore, maybe. Goes to the teacher. Yeah, I was a sophomore because Mr. Martinez was a sophomore football coach. Goes to the teacher, and he asks to use the restroom. I'm seeing him. He's in my sight, and I see him walk up to Mr. Martinez, who was my football coach, as a sophomore in high school. And I see the teacher gives him a pass. And back in those days, you had these big old wood things that hang from a key and everything. So you know the deal. So he walks out. I'm fuming. I can't let this go. So I go up to the teacher, Mr. Martinez, football coach. And I said, I have to go to the bathroom. And he looked directly at me in through my eyes. My eyes are squinting now. I mean, I was furious. And he looked at me. He goes, Brian. I go, yes, Miss Martinez. He goes, do you really need to go to the bathroom? Oh, yeah, I need to go to the bathroom. He goes, do you really? And then he almost started being the football coach. Do you really need to go to the bathroom? I mean, all of a sudden it was WWE, right? Do you really need to go to the bathroom? I need to go to the bathroom, coach. I need to go to the bathroom. He goes, and he looked at me and he goes, okay, you can go to the bathroom. Thanks, coach. And then as I was leaving, he says, make it quick. Okay, Brian? I go, it'll be quick. Go to the bathroom. There's the guy there taking a piss. Those are if you remember the high school bathrooms, you know, you go open a big door, it swings open. I kicked the motherfucking door hard as I can. It hit the wall. Bang, bang, bang. He jumped up and he pissed on himself. Now, there was another kid who decided to go to the bathroom as a witness, and he came in, and he was just sitting. He was watching. He was one of these goofy kids. Hey, George. One of these goofy kids. And I said, let's go. He goes, the guy. Now, the guy was bigger than me. The guy was pounds heavier than me. You know, muscular, more of this. I don't know what they feed this dude. It's like a pit bull. I said, let's go. He goes, you want to go right here? I go, yeah, let's go right here. It's one of those talks for about 5 minutes. You want to go right here? Yeah, let's go right here. I'm ready to go. I'm kicking things. I'm slamming things with my foot. Let's go. Let's do this. I'm putting up my hands like, let's go. I'm going to kill somebody tonight. It's almost like West Side Story. I'm going to kill somebody tonight. It's going to be you, sucker. Tonight. I'm going to bust your ass tonight. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. We're ready to go. Let's do this. And so he puts up his hand. I go, let's go. And then he goes, and he points at me. I never had any problems with any black guys but you. I go, let's go. And I don't care. I don't know what your problem is with me. If you push me, you push me, you motherfucker. Let's go. You did something that made me do it, and I didn't want to do it, but you made me do it. I said, let's go. At this point, I'm taking the toilet paper and I'm throwing it out. I'm kicking it. I'm going, I got to be back. Let's take care of this. I got to be back. And he goes, I'm not going to fight you. And he ran out. I go, you mother. And so the goofy guy was there. He goes, wow. I never seen anything like this. You're like a superhero. Wow. Can I hang around with you? I go, no. Okay. And then he runs out. He runs out of the bathroom. I wait 2 or 3 minutes and everything compose myself. I go into the library again. There was Coach. Coach was smiling ear to ear. Smiling ear to ear. And he stops me before I sit down. He goes, did you go to the bathroom? I go, yes, I did, Coach. Did everything turn out okay? And he's laughing, almost chickly. Yes, Coach, it turned out great. Good. Have a seat, Mr. Jackson. And needless to say, that year, you know, he had a lot of friends from the other side. He got a lot of people that, you know, I would get the sneers back and forth, you know, but nothing ever happened. But it was that kind of tenuous situation. So now we go to present time. And again, I talk about the personal Facebook page. I talk about that. And there's a lot of personal stuff on it. I've been going through some stuff. And there's a lot of people, family, friends, cousin, whatever, wishing me well. I get this friend's request, and I don't remember the name vaguely. I remember, I'm just going to give you a fast name. And it said Baldwin. I said, Baldwin. That sounds familiar. Hit it. And he's a preacher now. I haven't talked to this dude in years, and last time I talked to him, I threw toilet paper at him. I haven't talked to this dude. Friend him. Hi, Brian, remember me? Yeah, I remember you. I'm a preacher now. Cool. What do you do? Nothing. What do you mean, nothing? Got a podcast. We can slow, small talk. I happen to be number one, though. But I didn't say anything. I just said, I have a podcast. He goes, oh, interesting. I want to send you something. And I'm thinking it's a bomb. Divorce papers. Maybe I got his wife pregnant. I don't know who he married in high school, but I'm the wanderer. I'm the type of guy, you know the story. I said, okay, send it. This is what he sent to me. Because if he went into my personal page, there's personal stuff. And there's personal things with personal people saying personal stuff to me. There's some things that I'm going through. So he scrolled through and he looked at it. And he sent me a song. Dude Hates Me. That's what I thought. That's how he left it. That's it. That's how it goes. So what I'm going to say right now is I'm going to play that song because it'll give me a chance to get some coffee. If you'd like to come into this studio, it's 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. It's an obscure hour, so I don't expect anybody here, but we'll still get our stories anyway. It'll be a short show. So he sent me this song, and I did not expect it. I didn't expect him to remember me. if you look at the marquee, you'll see a picture, a black and white picture. That's me in the middle on a desk. That's me in the middle. The white guy in the picture, it's him, Mr. Baldwin. That's him. And he also sent me the picture, too. So I kind of, when I heard this song, I got to pay homage to it because he sent me that picture, too. I put it up there. So, yeah, if you see the picture of the desk, this, we're in a class. I think we were in a history class. That's what we're in. We're in a history class. I'm the black guy in the middle. There's a black guy to the right of me, and there's a white guy to the left of me. It was our history class. I was a freshman? No, I was a sophomore. That's the picture he sent. Here's a song he sent to me. And we'll be right back with our stories where I make some coffee. Uh-oh. You know what? I thought I loaded it. Wait a minute. All right. This is, you know, when you're live on the air, you have to kind of stall. Because I really thought I loaded it. I loaded the song because I wanted you to hear the song. And I guess people do have forgiveness in their heart. And I guess I don't know. Okay. Okay, here it is. So he sent me this song. And it kind of touched me. So he sent me the picture. He sent me this song. I'll be right back making coffee. We'll get to our main story, Tucker Carlson's leaked text exposed. You'll hear what I think about that. And skimming cards. You have no idea what's going on, and you're doing something dumb that's helping them. We'll be right back. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and we'll be right back, and this is the song he sent to me.
Thank you. If you need a friend, call me.
I thought that was nice. I didn't think, you know, you talk about life. And again, surprised, but he wasn't the only one. So I said to my girlfriend, this is really nice. And he ended it like, I love you, man. I go, cool. You know, I have no heart. Cool. So I showed my girlfriend, which was a mistake. Again, when you have a personal page, there's too many people you burned in your past. And when you have somebody from your home school, your hometown, Ventura, that's where I was, Ventura, California, beautiful, they tend to talk to other people. I guess they belong to this classmates kind of thing. So I showed my girlfriend, and she goes, oh, that is so beautiful. And then she says, what's this? I go, what's this? So there was another from Monica. I go, Monica. I go, oh, shit, Monica. My girlfriend's right here. She goes, well, who's Monica? I go, I thought that was enough of the explanation, because you go, that. So you're thinking that's enough of an explanation to anyone. And then I later confessed that Monica was my first girlfriend. The first girl I kissed, the first girl that I had kissed, and you don't need to, we're, again, you're talking 15, 16, my girl. You know, as you grow older, you forget that. So apparently, so I said, oh, shit, then I recognized who Monica was. Monica sent a song. She found out about the situation and blah, blah, blah. I guess Baldwin told her. So I, stupid as I was, my girlfriend right next to me, I hit Monica. Monica sent a song. This is what she sent.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So, what's the moral of the story? There's no moral. It's just that good friends are good friends. And it seems that people remember, it seems like people will remember good friends. Hey, Pat. Good morning, Pat. How are you? I'm live on the air with Pat O'Berlin, the world's famous psychic. You might have saw her in, just a second. How many days? Good job. Good morning, Pat. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine. How are you, dear?
You are fine, lady. Quit bragging.
Now I know you're fibbing.
No, I'm not fibbing, lady. You know what I'm going to do? I brag about Pat because she's a psychic. Pat, would you like to read me today? I rarely ask Pat.
Sure.
Pat will know this. I have known Pat. Pat, how many years have we known each other?
8, 9? Something like that.
My God, woman. 8, 9 years. And Pat,
yes.
How many times have I actually asked you, Pat, will you please read me? How many times have I actually said it?
5.
Okay, 6 times. Okay. But, you know, it's so funny that, you know, I'm on the air. You just hear, Pat, 8, 9 years. My God,
yeah.
I mean, the relationships that I have on this show can go from 8 to 9, 10 years on this damn show. And it's an honor and a pleasure to meet Pat. Pat, I'm going to answer this other call. If you could get your cards ready and read me, please.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'll be right back with you. 111, you're live on the air with Brian the Hammer Jackson. 111.
Brian the Hammer Jackson. I've seen the title of your show, and I just want you to know I'm calling in here to make sure that you stay on the straight and narrow.
Well, you know,
you ain't going to get away with nothing now. I ain't going to let you. I'm just letting you know. Don't you dare try nothing you know ain't true, because it ain't going to fly, not unless you just hang up on me.
No, I would never do that. I will never
All
do
right,
that.
All right, well, I'm just keep it straight. I'm just letting you know. Just be warned. You may see.
All right, I'll watch my P's and Q's, my friend. I will. Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. Oh, by the way, Pat is here, Sarge, the world-famous psychic, and she's going to read my tarot cards.
Uh-oh, she's not going to be able to do no peripheral reading on me, is she?
No.
All right, I'm just checking. I want to make sure I got – let me put up my jamming radar so you don't get through the screen.
Okay, you do that.
So there's no vibes. So there's no vibes go there. Okay, Pat, I'm ready.
It doesn't work, Serge, but it's good effort.
I know.
Okay, well, I'll just stand by listening to you eviscerate Brian. I know you're going to reveal some – look. Wait a minute, I'm trying to figure out what degenerate secrets he ain't revealed yet. What's he got left?
Not much.
There's a lot
That's
of debauchery.
Okay. Who knows what we might find out, so I just lay back and listen to your analysis.
Thank you.
Okay, I got to hear Brian's
voice. My psychiatrist committed suicide after hearing my stories. Okay, Pat, go.
Okay. Well, just a minute. I'm not finished shuffling. I've been trying to get you into my thoughts.
Alrighty.
Sarge kind of threw me off there.
Sarge has his big vibrations coming through and interfering with my card reading.
He does, actually.
Okay.
So, let's see here. It starts out really good. Okay, just give me 1 second. I'm almost done.
She's almost done. And I don't know. I haven't asked Pat, and a lot of people are into psychics, and Pat is really a good one. So if Pat is generous enough and you come in the studio, maybe she'll give you a reading. The number is 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That's the
okay, I have your reading
number.
Ready.
Sure.
It comes up with you're in the middle of destiny right now. Things that are happening to you are happening due to destiny. So there's a lot of worry about your partner right now because there's indecision with obstacles that are happening.
Oh, yeah. We got in a lot of disagreements lately. Go ahead.
You've been trying to really stay level through this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But she's talking a walking.
Yeah, that is actually true. That was today is what? Today's Thursday? Tuesday. It was one of those things that somebody was a walking. Actually Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
sure, true.
She's not sure what the hell she wants to do. You're just sitting there waiting for her to make up her mind.
Yeah. That's
there
true.
There is grief about money.
Yeah.
And as far as the right direction to go right now, you are in control, in spite of the facts.
True.
Now, she's claiming this has something to do with the past and things that she's been through, and all of a sudden things are dredging up now.
Right.
So it might be her age.
The old bat.
Midlife crisis or something?
Could be. And realize she made a mistake.
Could be. But in any case, this is all to do with her head, not yours.
I know. It's always them, not me.
Well, whatever this is serious in her mind.
Yes.
So
it's very serious.
Yeah, it's. I'm hoping for the best for you too, but I'm not really holding up hope with our state of mind.
Uh-oh.
So
I'm gonna go in my. I'm gonna go in my happy place. This is bad news. I'm gonna go in my happy place.
Well, find out what it is, because whatever it is, it's more than she's
telling
you.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what
it
is.
Oh, you do, eh?
But you are, I'm going to tell you something. You're spot on. You are spot on. We had a little,
wow.
She's been through a lot lately. I don't want to go into the details.
No.
When you said the past, and I have to talk about it because it's life. And when I talk about my shit, there's probably somebody else has some shit out there. You know, she was married when I met her. She was thinking about leaving the relationship. I think it was my charming personality. I just make married women jump for joy. I jump for her. And sometimes I give hope. I jump for her too. Joy and hope. God, it was a lovely threesome. But anyway, she was married. She found out that her husband, her ex-husband died. He died. Worm food. He had cancer. He had cancer.
So it's upset her a lot, has it?
Well, there's a correlation, you know what I mean? It was like a double whammy, right? And when you have somebody who's in a situation and they tend to lean on another person a lot, it can wear a person down. It can wear them down, especially when they're going through it with you. So what I'm saying is your reading is spot on.
Just happened.
Excuse me. Now, you said that you don't know what's going to happen, so you cannot see if she leaves me or not, or I'm going to be a lonely boy.
I could do it again, but I'd want to do it privately.
No, I have nothing to hide. Do it again on the air. You know how I feel on the air? You know how I feel on the air? I'm going to be interviewing pretty soon. I'm going to be interviewing a lot of people. And I'm going to ask a lot of personal, hard questions. And if if I expect them to answer those questions, then I have to hold myself accountable to answer those questions on the air too. That's just how I feel. If I hide shit or something personal and all this, how can I expect them to respect me when I ask them the hard personal questions? Because you heard my interviews.
Yeah.
My interviews are really in your face, throw a brick at your head. I don't care. I go there. So, no, go ahead. Let me have it.
Okay.
I'm a big boy.
Well, I'm just asking it now.
Sure.
I asked, is she going to leave?
Right.
Might as well get down to the brass tacks.
Let's get down to the meat and the potatoes. And meanwhile, I'm going to look at my old address book just in case. Sherry, Shaniqua. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't see a moving card.
Okay, good.
I do see around the home there's going to be a distance between you, or she might go away for a few days to sort out
her
head.
Actually, she is. She's going to Arizona.
Okay,
and
well,
then she's going to Alaska.
Wow, she's really critical right now. Oh, my.
She's what?
Very critical right now.
What does that mean?
Of you.
Oh, of course everybody is. Look at Sarge. He's watching
but,
me like a hawk.
But honestly, if you want the honest truth, Brian, I'm seeing somebody else here.
Okay. Who? Is it Linda?
I have no idea, but
on
there's
her end?
A lot of happiness around it.
On her
a
end?
A lot
or
of
my
happiness.
Will I be happy? Is it me or her?
I'm not sure.
Damn
because
it
doesn't really say you're splitting up. It's almost like she's reevaluating and maybe there's going to be a reconnection when she comes back, but there is obstacles.
I hate those obstacles.
And
like she could be having an affair over there, seeing somebody, and then coming back to my loving arms.
Could be.
Thank you. And I have to pay you for that bad news?
All I'm saying is I don't see a total split here.
Well, you know, she is online, and she likes to play this game. She loves this game. And she met some people on this game. When I say met, I'm talking about talking to them online and everything. She said something interesting to me the other day. Before I even had this show and everything, I used to be a troll. So it used to be a chat room. So I would troll and have fun. I was popular. So I went to, I saw her, and then I would say, hey, baby. And she would type right away in caps, I'm married. Stay away from me. I go, Jesus, I just said hello. You know what I mean? Bottom line. We got together, and so if she's talking to somebody in the chat room now, and she's leaving, and there's obstacles, you know what I'm saying? I'm at a place now that's saying, well, what can I do? I'm old now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go get a dog.
That's the mature way to look at it, not the dog part, but, you know.
Not the dog part. Come here, puppy. Come sleep in the bed.
But you know what I mean. It's...
I know what you
mean. There's a certain point at which you just say, okay, well, whatever you want.
I can't fight anymore. I'm just too old. Too many things are happening. And you know, I'm one of these people, and we'll end this because people are getting bored, but I'm one of these people now that I think I grew to a point where it says that if you're not happy, I'm not happy. I do believe, what is it, a happy life, a happy wife, or a happy wife, happy life kind of thing. I really do believe in that. And if you're not happy with me, I'm going to be miserable. I mean,
that's
I'm happy
right.
with
and
you.
That's why I don't agree with people staying together for the kids.
Well,
it doesn't
I can
make anybody
that.
Happy.
Well, I'm for that. I am for that. I believe that there is... I mean, if they could be mature people and say, okay, you know, after the kids, we'll stay together, but I mean, there's two different people. I don't agree with the people who are fighting in front of the kids all the time. That's a no-no. I'd rather you get the hell out of the house because it's damaging the children. But if you could come to some kind of agreement, especially in California, you got a lot of people who are cohabitating and living together who are no longer together, if you know what I mean, because it's so expensive here. But if you have, if you got mature people that made the deal, that maybe they can live a secret life until the kids grow up, but we won't let the kids find you get what I'm saying, they won't.
But there's not that many people that are that responsible or that adult.
Yeah, I wish there was. And if you can do that, and when you say we'll stay together for the kids, then make the deal. No fighting in front of the kids.
Yeah.
This, we are separated, but don't let the kids find out what we're doing. You know, we cover each other's asses until they leave the house, and I pay the rent. If you could coexist, I'm 100% for that, you know. So that's what I believe in. Pat, I want to thank you for that lovely reading.
You're welcome. Sorry it wasn't
let's
good.
Let's recap. I'm at a place where my woman's going to probably have an affair, but she'll come back to me. Yay! Happy ending. Pat, thank you. And you know what I like about your reading, Pat? You don't hold back. You just say it like it is. There's a lot of psychics you go on, and they give you all happy stuff. They'll tell you what.
Oh, it's
bullshit. They'll give you little, you may have a little trouble. You're going to work it out. You have financial difficulty. You're going to be rich. Don't worry about it. I see nothing but roses and daffodils in your life. Goodbye. No, you're
the
real deal.
I bet people wish my readings were more like that, but.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Miss Pat Oberlin, ladies and gentlemen.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Sarge is such a sissy. He's running away from you. He's blocking all your vibrations.
No, I know what it is. You know what time it is, Brian. Now, the woman is giving you all this heads-up data, all this advanced knowledge, and all this introspection from which you can make sound conclusions and decisions. And you're going to screw it all up anyway.
Probably. I'm going to screw it up. It's destiny. I just like to get familiar with the wall I'm going to hit. That's all.
Well, that's the point of readings, isn't it? Just to know what you're up to.
Yes.
You're going to just disregard it and do what you're going to do and screw up everything anyhow. You're going to mess up your relationship with your girlfriend. She's going to leave you. You're going to screw up some big economic opportunity. And you'll be saying to yourself, now why did I listen to Pat when she told me that? Why did I listen a little bit better? You know you're going to do it, so I'm just giving you the warning ahead of time. Don't do it.
I hear you. Pat said it would be like this. Tucker Carlson, everybody, leaked text exposed. This is a headline right here. And then we're going to talk about millions of Americans have no idea. Sarge knows about this. Millions of Americans have no idea. This report just blew me away. And I changed the way I do things, swipe my credit card, everything. But you're being compromised without you knowing it. There are people who can scan. Do you know there's an app on your cell phone that you can go by someone, and if they have the phone in their back pocket, you can go by and scan their phone. You don't even have to say anything. Just go by them, and you can get all their information. Sarge, are you familiar with this? And they go on.
Yeah, I've heard about it. That's why people like to get a thing called a Faraday cage. You know what a Faraday cage is?
I heard about it. I don't know too much about it.
All right. Well, they got similar things that you could put around your credit cards. You can put around your telephone and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And it prevents that sort of electromagnetic intrusion.
Right.
Yeah, you can get cards that block your cards.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but people...
I'm familiar with it, and if you're that concerned about it, I'd recommend anybody out there to get themselves a Faraday device, which will prevent such a thing from happening.
True. And people just don't know it. I don't know if people are lazy. They don't know it. We're going to get to our story right now. But first, entertainment news. Jim Carrey. It's only 2 minutes, and then we'll get to our main story. Everybody saw Jim Carrey play the Grinch. So he's revealing how horrible it was for him to be in that makeup. Here's Jim Carrey talking about that. I think I have it. Here we go. I think I have it. Maybe I don't. Nope. Well, anyway, that was set up, and Huh. This is live on the air. It was all set up. I'll try to get it back. So we'll go back with calls. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay, Jim Carrey talking about the Grinch.
Makeup was like being buried alive every day. And then Brian Grazer came in, and being the fix-it man, and came up with a brilliant idea, which was to hire a gentleman who is trained to teach CIA operatives how to endure torture. If you're freaking
Thank
out,
you.
You start to spiral downward, turn the television on, change a pattern, have someone you know come up and smack you in the head, you know, punch yourself in the leg, so or smoke. Smoke as much as you possibly can. So I was this Grinch sitting there. Giant cigarette holder so the yak hair wouldn't go on fire. It was horrifying.
Wow.
It was horrifying. I was just like, it's for the kids, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. When I did the Grinch, literally the makeup was like being buried alive every day. And then Brian Grazer came in.
There you go. That's a little thing behind the scenes, being buried alive.
Wow.
I did see him try to do it. They had to put straws up his nose so he could breathe. It was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, this guy's a good guy. Well, that was a little entertainment ditty. And now for our top news. This is according to Sam Cedar from Real Clear Politics. Now, I'm not familiar with Real Clear Politics. I'm thinking it's right-wing politics. But it says here, Sam Cedar, Tucker Carlson's leaked text exposed to Fox News and the Republicans big time. Now, here's a story. I'll let you listen to it. I'll read it, but here's a story. I think this is okay. There's a commercial, but we'll get through it. But you know, they're talking about the leaked text of Tucker Carlson expressing violent fantasies about Antifa. I don't know who the hell Antifa is. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know who Antifa is. I think I saw somebody talk about Antifa, but I think they're a combination of white and black people. I don't think it's just black people. I'm thinking Antifa is just a left-wing radical group. I mean, this is how I do it. Is this guy talking about the reporter? I guess he is. I thought it was a commercial. Here you go. Just for a little bit.
Yeah, left-wing fascists there, Brian. That's what they are to be.
Was Fox not shocked at what was in there? Fox did not just find this out when they claimed they did. They knew about this. This is all a lie. It's all a lie. I don't know why. I can speculate as to why they're trying to put out fake reasons why they fired Tucker Carlson. But what I'm really shocked about is the lack of skepticism by mainstream reporters. Like, you're not going to go after, like, why are they doing this? Why are they putting out this stuff? All right, maybe do embarrass Tucker Carlson, but they didn't fire him because they were so shocked to find out that's not the way white people read. Did they ever watch a show? But that's not even that. Well, I'll get into this later. But there's, even in the stories that report this, make it clear that they almost for sure knew that for sure that they found out about that text a long time ago. A long time ago. So this is, I don't buy it.
They were so taken aback, it took them this long to act.
Yeah, I just don't buy it. I am super, super skeptical as to why we are getting all of these leaks of Tucker Carlson. I do not believe the story that this is about, Rupert Murdoch going like, oh my God, he's a Christian nationalist white supremacist.
Okay, let me explain. I guess he's talking about the text. Let me tell you how he got in trouble. And here's his true story. Here's how he got in trouble. And I was trying to explain it. And this guy's just making a commentary on it. There were leaked texts of Tucker Carlson expressing violent fantasies about Antifa. This has surfaced. In a text, Carlson described watching a video of three men attacking an Antifa member and said he was initially disturbed because that's not how white men fight. However, he said that as he continued watching, he was horrified by how much he wanted the men to kill the Antifa guy. The text message was sent on January 7, 2021, the day. Now, you got to listen to the date. This is important. We are at 23, okay? This text message was sent January 7th. We just turned 21, the year 21. We just turned the year 21. So this is, what, 2 years old? 2 years old? Okay. It's the day after the It's the day after the Capitol riot. It was discovered as part of a lawsuit filed against Fox and by the Dominion voting system. Dominion is suing Fox. Well, we already know that. Well, Carlson's text message is just the latest in a series of scandals that have plagued Fox News in recent and okay, for sexual. Then he went into sexual habits. Then he went into something else. But I'm going to talk. Carlson's Carlson's firing and the Dominion scandal are major blows to Fox News, which has long been the most popular cable news show in the United States. However, it is also a sign that the network is finally starting to face some consequences. All right, now let's get to the real meat and potatoes, what's really going on here. Fox, Rupert Murdoch, they have the list. I don't have it. I should have put it up about Fox people. It goes right by Pat O'Reilly, Glenn Beck. It goes deeper. That how many times that Fox has been sued on his online people that they settled. Fox paid them out, or Rupert Murdoch paid them out. The settlements were like $32 million, $10 million, $5 million, go on and on and on. Now, when the Dominion got him, and we live in a cancel society, I'm going to kind of paraphrase what Tucker Carlson said, because the guy's not getting into it, and they didn't really explain it. And I'm going to try to explain it as much as I can that I understand. What happened was Tucker Carlson was looking at a video, and in the video, what did he say, three white men and one guy from Antifa? If he described them as white men, then that tells me the Antifa guy was black. It just makes sense. And he was describing, first he was feeling sorry for the guy being attacked, and then he made a comment, and I think this is what really nailed him, when he used the word white men. I think that really bring up the censors. If he didn't say white men, I got a feeling it would have been let go. But then he's saying, as he's watching the video, that he says, this is not how white men fight. But initially, he was feeling sorry for that guy, for the black man who was being beat up by these three white men. And then as he started watching the video, he started saying that, you know, I started to hate this Antifa guy. And he was horrified. He even said this to himself, how horrified, how much he wanted the men to kill the Antifa guy. He wanted them to kill them. Now, the cable TV people will run with this. It's a great story. Carlton said that he wanted the men to kill the Antifa guy. Great story. Stops there. And a lot of it stops there, but it doesn't stop there. And I'm going to say where it stops. So they stopped here. So you can get the sound bite and you get the anger. Yeah, burn Carlson. But he went, you have to look deeper what he really said. He did say those things, but then he started to say, as the video played, then he started questioning himself, what kind of person have I become to root for this guy to be harmed? Then he started questioning himself, have I crossed the line to, you know, them against us? And then, so he started having this epiphany of himself.
Brian, I don't mean to step on you here, but look.
Sure.
The entire email that was sent is only about 10 sentences long, and I got it right in front of me. I can read it, and I think that'll put it completely in context.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Now, listen up. This is sent on January 7th at 6:04 p.m. This is what he writes. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a video of people fighting on the street in Washington. a group of Trump guys surrounded an Antifa kid and started pounding the living shit out of him. It was 3-1, at least. Jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. It's not how white men fight. Yet suddenly I find myself rooting for the mob against the man, hoping they'd hit him harder, kill him. I really wanted them to hurt the kid. I could taste it. Then somewhere deep in my brain, an alarm went off. This isn't good for me. I'm becoming something I don't want to be. The Antifa creep is a human being. Much as I despise what he says and does, much as I'm sure I'd hate him personally if I knew him, I shouldn't gloat over his suffering. I should be bothered by it. I should remember that somewhere somebody probably loves this kid and would be crushed if he was killed. If I don't care about those things, if I reduce people to their politics, how am I better than he is? Sir, for me, that is a level of introspection that is rare these days in public life and almost non-existent amongst Democrats, liberals, and progressives. I acknowledge this man is acknowledging his flaws. He is analyzing himself on them as to whether or not he should continue to hold them, perhaps. And I'll tell you what, his esteem has only risen in my eyes as a result of reading it.
Okay.
And this is a prime example. And they ran with it. They ran with the part where Carlson wanted this guy killed. They didn't go into what Mr. Wersart said. And it's true. It's true. This is the problem we have. We'll take sound bites. We'll make opinions on this sound bite. And we're not fully listening to the story. Now, if this is enough to fire a guy, you got to understand who Tucker Carlson is. I don't watch the show. I know of him. I read enough news of him. I don't think I fully in my life watched Tucker Carlson from beginning to end. But he doesn't seem like he's a journalist. He seems like he does an opinion piece. That's who I think Tucker Carlson is. You're thinking, and if that's true, and that's how I take him, he's doing an opinion piece. And he does it quite well, by the way. And this cancel culture or this I got you kind of culture, it's against democracy. It's against everything America stands for, because America is supposed to stand for free press, freedom of expression. And if this is his opinion, we should not criminalize this guy or punish this guy. This is just my opinion of it. We got to remember who we are. He has the right to say, see, I'm one of these advocates. He has the right to say what he needs to say or what his opinion is. Why should he hold back his opinion? This is what America is about.
Yes, and you know, and the idea of self-analysis and introspection is absolutely vital to becoming a better human being. Isn't that what we're all here to do?
Sure.
I mean, that's exactly what he's doing in this email. He is criticizing himself. He's not, obviously, he's not a narcissist.
Well,
I mean, I was really impressed to hear his thought process, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see anything whatsoever, even the comment about not how white men fight, because let's face it, look, this country was found framed by Anglo-Saxons, okay? You know, much of the ethics and ethos of this country, at least in its beginning, was an Anglo-Saxon Presbyterian ethos. That's what it was, whether we like it or not. And there are certain ideals that Anglo-Saxons are expected to live up to, amongst which you don't gang up on somebody and beat them up. You face them in honorable combat. That's what a duel was all about. Okay? So when he says that, that isn't as bad as it sounds either, because Tucker is constantly calling us back to the traditions and founding of this country in every respect possible. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. It would be entirely consistent with what I know of Tucker Carlson for him to say a thing like this. Now, all these pearl clutches out here can clutch all the pearls they want. It don't impress me a bit. Okay?
No,
I think I don't think there's anybody on television like Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't. I think he's been constrained by Fox News. I think
mm-hmm.
they put a muzzle on him and a leash that he doesn't like. And I think
mm-hmm.
him being liberated from Fox News will be one of the best things ever for his style of opinion, yes, opinion journalism. I think it will be a good thing. I think he will only grow. I think he can assume Rush Limbaugh or greater proportions as a result.
He could. At this, lack of any word, there's so many opportunities, podcasts, cable TV, Sirius Radio. I mean, you can put Howard Stern on Sirius Radio. I can imagine Tucker Carlson going on Sirius Radio. I can imagine that. But the point of what I'm trying to say is that we forget who we are. We cannot say an opinion. I go back to my go-to. I don't care. This has nothing to do with Tucker Carlson. This has nothing to do with it. I'm separating this. I'm going to somewhere else. The worst of the worst. I don't care if somebody's overheard, you know, if they're in a home and they're having race. Somebody could take it as a racist remark, and maybe he's the president of Nabisco, and I like Nabisco. I like their cookies. But if you had the president of Nabisco having his family around and he's watching a game and he uses the N-word, I don't really give a rat's ass. I still like the cookies. I'm eating the cookies. This is what's wrong with America, because everybody has a stick up their ass, and it's us against us and Americans against Americans. It's Americans against Americans. This is the worst revolution fight that we ever had in our history. I mean, we went with the British, the Koreans, we went to Vietnam, and but we're fighting against ourselves, Americans versus Americans. This is the worst civil war ever, and it's not done by guns. It's not done by anything. This is done by hate speech that invades our home, that affects our children.
You're right. You know, even during the war between the states, Brian, which was, after all, over a huge issue of contention and acrimony, slavery, and whether
right.
or not it was should continue to be allowed in a country with the aspirational founding principles of the United States, even though it was a universal institution everywhere.
Right.
Other than that, and of course the particular cultural differences, northern and southern states, there wasn't really that much they were fighting about other than that. There was broad agreement on most everything else. Nobody was arguing about whether you had to be a biologist to know what a woman was.
Right.
There wasn't this multitude of cultural conflicts about everything. Literally everything wasn't up for critical tea, because the world hadn't been infected by Marxism and neo-Marxism yet. But
right.
now it is, and that's why today, in many respects, what's going on today, this cultural divide, which may lead to an impending civil war clash, is even worse than the disagreements in the middle of the 19th century over 150 years ago.
Exactly. It's me against you, and we're all Americans. I mean, look at Canada. They don't give a fuck. They're hugging everybody,
nope.
and they're eating haggis. You know what I mean? They,
ooh, haggis? Yikes.
They are Canadians, and they love – well, they have their little problems that some people don't like.
Like the Quebecers?
Vancouver. Well, the Vancouver Canadians don't like people from Montreal or whatever. You got your little feuds there, but I have never seen anything divided like America against Americans. I mean, this is serious shit.
And
it's affecting
America,
our laws.
It's about the most basic and fundamental tenets of belief and philosophy. It is like
yeah.
nothing I ever thought I would see in the United States. Over things that
right.
were really thought to have been settled long ago, over things
right.
that literally were settled for thousands of years. I mean,
right.
you know, whether or not it is proper for a society to even have the ethic of maintaining civil order, even if it's not honored in the breach. I'm talking about now we have people literally saying that to enforce the law is wrong.
Right.
That it is proper to allow people to steal and not face legal consequences. We are witnessing a fight on so many fronts. Not whether or not a baby in the womb is a human life.
Exactly.
I mean, I can name literally, if you give me, I don't want to take the time, but I can literally name probably 1,000 cross-cultural conflicts over which once upon a time there was almost complete unanimity.
Right.
So that is why today is probably worse than any other time ever. And I think it's only going to get worse because the other side seems to be fanatical.
Especially when you reject them.
When you reject them, they double down and they get more desperate. Look at the transgenderism. They will literally attack you if you dare to voice opposition to the activist agenda. They will literally talk about violence. Right away, just because you disagree. I mean, I don't think we've ever beheld a time, and it's ascension. This atmosphere has become so ascendant, so gradually, we're not even noticing it. How all encompassing and comprehensive it is. You agree or don't?
I agree.
So do I.
But, yeah, it is just...
Things have gone crazy.
I don't know. I said on a show about a week ago, I can get rid of racism today. I can. I can get rid of transgender conflict today. I can. It's very simple. Just accept it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to invite people in your house for dinner. Just accept it.
Brian, I accept it. No, but there's matters of public policy that we are saying should not be, particularly for minors.
Right.
I'm not here to tell an adult what to do with their body with a medical professional willing to provide the services for them to do it. That's none of my business. I don't like it. I'm not going to accept in the sense that it makes any sense, but lots of things other people do don't make sense to me. That's not my business. But when it comes to public policy, particularly involving minors and the rights of parents, now on that I draw a line in the sand. It's a hill I'm prepared to die on. You name the metaphor, yes, I'm in for that. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about on matters of public policy, you know, what books children will be allowed to see in school, what they're going to be allowed to be exposed to. Mainly it's about minors and the rights of parents. That's where we don't have to accept anything the transgender activists want to do in that respect. Nothing. Not women in sports, not men and women in sports, not anything. We don't have to accept any of it. And I don't intend to.
Right. Yeah, well, I understand. But... If your daughter, granddaughter, brought home somebody who's a transgender, how would you for dinner? Would you still serve dinner? Would you because you love your granddaughter or you love your daughter? Would you?
All right, if I allow someone in my home, I have an obligation to be civil, and I will be at least that. Trust
exactly.
Me.
And that's so all. That's simply manners.
As long as they are mannered. Mm-hmm. And I allow them into my house, then I have an obligation to at least be civil. And I trust me, I'm very capable of doing that, having been a police officer and having to stand by being neutral during demonstrations by people whose belief system I utterly despise. I learned how to do it very well.
But there you go. If we could just have that, what you just said, this country would get over itself, if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I think we thrive. You know, what happened is that we are all a victim, and I don't know many people do it. I mean, we can't escape cable news. Tucker Carlson had 3.5 million viewership every night. You know, he was on.
I escape it every day.
Yeah. And
I just don't look at the news.
See, that's the thing. You just said it, Pat. People just got turned off to away from the news because it's too much drama. It's too much bullshit.
It is. I look at some stuff. I'm very very choosy about what I look at. But I mean, really, some of the stuff, everybody's trying to pander to everybody right now. It's ridiculous. Everybody wants their say.
That's true.
Yeah, the level of pandering today and the utter lack of principle from people who ought to know better is just one of the most dismaying things I've ever seen. This endless desire to pander. I mean, it is, it's like people cannot forthrightly, it's like they've just abandoned only the most fanatical or the most dedicated, if you will. You take your pick of choice, take your choice of words, are the ones who are willing to stand up for principle, you know? Like principles, like in a rule of law, like you're entitled to due process of law, no matter how much people despise you. You're a baby rapist. That's about as low as you can get. Most people would like to take you out and lynch you. They'd like to have a democratic vote saying, let's democratically decide to lynch this infant rapist. But no, if you believe in principle, that person is entitled to due process of law.
Right.
And like I said, today, principle is getting tossed out the window everywhere you look.
Oh, yeah.
It's true that. True that. And once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't go back. We squashed this, and Sarah said something earlier saying this is old news, but we're rehashing it again. And in a sense, I think he said that, meaning Roe versus Wade, and what's old again, I guess what's old is new again, just because it's controversy. And guess what? Because it creates ratings. We are zombies to the cable news. And they are the most controversial. To me, they're the most harmful people. I'm talking both sides here. They're the most harmful people that we
can
even listen to.
Oh, yeah, they can cause so much depression and despair in people.
Sure.
All they report is bad.
Yeah. And their opinions kind of brainwash you, and you become radical. When they talk about these kids online getting radicalized, well, don't get your kids online, they're getting radical. The cable news radicalize you every night. Do you not agree, Sarge? Do you not agree, Pat? They radicalize you. Depending on what cable show you're listening to, you are being radicalized into. And then let's bring in. If you don't believe me, let's bring in Senator Hatchard, and he's a Democrat from Iowa. I agree with you, Rachel Maddow. These Republicans are looking to stop women's rights to have health insurance. What happened? You know,
hey, Brian,
but
back to the subject again about the subject of today's show with Tucker Carlson. The one thing I found most interesting about him is that he regularly defied my expectations. Regularly. I expect Tucker's going to say this about that. And no, frequently he did not. Like about the war in Ukraine, like about, even eating bugs. He did a special just the other day, not too long ago, about eating bugs, where he just simply analyzed eating bugs as a matter of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost completely left the political side of it out, even though he did refer to it. But he left out the political side of it and said, well, what nutritional value and what kind of taste do these bugs have?
Mm.
You know, I mean, he regularly would defy my expectations on things like that. And speaking about issues, he would do it in ways that no one else would do or even dare to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really interested when I heard this about behind the scenes, he said he hates Donald Trump, something about demonic.
Mm-hmm.
But even if he does, I don't care, because his coverage of him as far as the news is pretty objective and fair. So it doesn't matter to me that he hates him. I care less. He's an opinion journalist, and I'm more concerned about his ability to see things as they are and to issue an honest opinion, not one that's dictated for him by current peoples and agendas. His own, pretty much the way he sees it.
And
the more I read about these texts I'm seeing, they say I'm supposed to condemn him, the more impressed I am by him.
Right, but you're proving my point, what you just said, and Donald Trump just proved my point. Donald Trump saw it. Tucker Carlson said he hates Donald Trump. He can't stand the guy. But yet, Donald Trump will get another interview with Tucker Carlson, or Donald Trump will say it's a shame that Fox fired him. And what I'm trying to say is Trump can say, okay, you hate me, but you are a good source of information, and I want to be honest. So that trumps, I hate to say it, but that trumps this bullshit about emotional feelings and how you feel. Who gives a shit how you feel? Who gives a fuck how you feel? You have a platform, what I need, and treat me like a professional and let's get it on. You know, and I think more and more people should have that attitude. I don't give a fuck if you're racist. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. If I go to the cabin and I hear that the owner is a racist, but he rented to me and he says, hey, look, Brian, I give you a discount. Discount? Yeah, you know, you stay the weekend, I'll give you $10 off. I'm there. Hell, if I stay more than a weekend, do I get $20 off? Even though he may go to dinner and say, yeah, we got a nigga in the cabin. And somebody recorded it, and they go, Brian, listen to what I heard. Well, we got a nigga in the cabin. I go, yeah, and I got $10 off the cabin. Get out of here. Don't rock the boat. Meaning that
yeah,
you're
Brian,
you are.
I always think that people have to be liked by everybody out there. There's something neurotic
right.
about them. You know what I mean? The only people I need to have love and admire me are my friends, my family, and, you know, my girlfriend and or wife. I mean,
right.
all I ask from other people is basic civility. Don't interfere with my rights. Don't get in my way. We don't have to, and we'll get along fine. You
exactly.
despise me all you want. I care less.
Exactly.
And, you know, and like I said, you know, being a police officer and being hated by people while you have to do your job, okay, long as you do what I tell you to do, when I know I got a right to tell you to do, we'll get along just fine. You can despise me all you want. And,
exactly.
I think there's too many people out there that especially when it's age of self-esteem, they've elevated self-esteem neuroticism to a level of entitlement.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're supposed to get trophies for showing up. You're not supposed to be. You have a right not to be offended. All of this stuff is just bad for this country. It is bad. It is a form of mind control and tyranny that I think we need to stand up and fight against, like that devil itself, like with the same animation and energy the devil has. I'm just saying because it's bad. It's bad to have this sort of imposed thought control, this mind tyranny, and it's to go along with the anarcho-tyranny that many people who are running these governments are doing to us. And they're trying to pit us against us with this technique of dialectical materialism. And again, they got right on it from Karl Marx and Engels, and they pit one group against another endlessly. And it's not good.
No, it's not. And it's hard work.
Control is never good.
That's true, Pat. It is very hard work to be liked. I'm telling you, it is so hard. I mean, when I first started this, I wanted people to like me. You know, I didn't want people to. I did. I really did. I wanted people to say, I'm doing good. Give me a cookie. I had visions and fantasies of people saying, Brian, you are the best. Brian, this is the best show ever. Brian, you're never. And that didn't happen. It's like, you suck. And so this guy comes in and says, you suck. I didn't know the guy. The guy didn't know me. And the show just started. You barely got past the first credit. Oh, you suck. I didn't know anything about trolls. Second guy, you suck, man. I go, because I didn't know anything about no trolls. I started going, you know, the little tears coming down my eyes. I'm trying to do the best I can. It's hard work. Then I learned the ropes. It's like the guy goes, or a woman could go, you suck. I go, you know what? Let me tell you something. I am not for everyone. Nobody's 100%. Nobody's for 100% of nobody. I guarantee you. You got Mother Teresa.
No,
I'm sure you got guys who are saying, I hate that bitch. You can't please everyone. So I said, okay, thanks for coming to the show. I'm not for you. And it's like the breakup I remember I used to have. It's like, you know, the girl, we're breaking up. I go, you know what, you're psycho. That's what got me to date you. But you're not for, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Please put down the knife when we're talking.
Don't you think it's really kind of curious with all the people out here who are accusing people of bad things and wanting to ban books. And that's the latest thing the left is talking.
Yeah.
They want to ban books. Tell me something. Why is it in many school educational systems in the United States you can't get a copy in its original form of Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn?
Well, you know
why.
Why is that, Brian?
Because he used language that was contemporary for the time
exactly.
And common.
Exactly.
And these same people
copies of those
bleeding now about, oh, they want to ban books. They're the same people who would ban Huckleberry Finn and the Killer Mockingbird and Tom Sawyer.
That's true.
I'm
happy
with these people.
I'm not going to put up any more
with their hypocrisy, with their double meanings, with their endless projections, with their continual lying and distortions. Every time I see them and I have the opportunity to, I intend to call them out.
Yeah, I agree. And, Pat, you were saying something, too? You were saying what Sergeant was saying,
some of the books they have banned are absolutely ridiculous, and they're classics.
They are classic.
Like, where do these people get off?
Because you got, I don't know. You know, when the louder you hear the internet go, these are the people who are the cuckoos. Because intelligent people do not fight with the cuckoos. If you had somebody with half a brain and there's some guy going off and they're really loud, they're talking in caps, I hate this and this is revolution. You're hearing the normal guy or the normal woman saying, I'm not going to comment on this guy. I'm just going to leave. This is what normal people do. I'm going to leave. Let the big mouth have his thing. This is not for me. So the part of what I'm saying is that you hear so much of the big mouth, and then very rarely you hear people like Sarge or me or Pat.
I think we all hear Sarge.
Yeah, we hear Sarge. We do hear Sarge. But... when Sarge gets riled up, I like when Sarge gets riled up, though, man. But you really hear the decent folks argue with crazy maniacs. We say, what's the use? Why are we wasting our time? So, therefore, if all you're hearing are the loudmouths, you're thinking it's true. You're thinking it's true. I wish to God, if I had a wish, they could give me, get rid of Twitter right away. Get rid of Twitter. Just get rid of it.
What you think is that whenever these radicals come to power anywhere in the world, anywhere in history, one of the first things they do is they go after history. Whether it's Taliban, whether it's the Red Guard in Mao's China, you know, the four olds, old habits, old cultures, old traditions, old thoughts. You know, you have to go out. Look, whether you're in Joseph Stalin, Soviet Union, you had to literally airbrush people out of photographs who are standing next to the great leader. It's one of the first things they do is to rewrite history. It's what they're doing now. Why do you think they changed the names of... Look, I got my Ranger School certificate, my Jump School certificate from Fort Benning. As far as I'm concerned, it's always going to be Fort Benning. Okay?
Right.
That's why I got it.
Right.
And anybody get by the show says, well, you got the certificate that says you got your Ranger School from Fort Benning. And, well, there's no Fort Benning. It's Fort Moore now. And by the way, Hal Moore was one of the greatest battlefield commanders the United States Army's ever put in the field. I would love to honor him with something, but not renaming Fort Benning for him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I said General Moore deserves an installation and Moore named after him. He was a great soldier. He's one of the men I admire most from the war I fought in Vietnam. Hal Moore was a great battlefield commander. But I don't think they should have renamed Fort Benning for him.
It brings this story, and I agree with you, Sarge. I was doing a show. Sometimes I'll take questions from Facebook. I only take the mean ones. I don't like to take the good ones because the good ones you guys think they're fake. So I just read the mean ones so you guys believe them. But there's one, we're talking about statues, and they're tearing down statues, and it's hurting black people with these racist statues, blah, blah, blah. So I get this thing on Facebook. It was in my DM, and the woman said, it was a black woman. And she says, I really don't like today's show, but I'm listening to it. And she goes, Brian, do people know that black people fought in the Confederate Army? You know, and then she was saying, my great, whatever, she traced her roots. And he was fighting for the South. I mean, he's a black man fighting for the Confederate Army.
Oh, my.
And she was ashamed. And people got to understand, when they look at those statues saying, okay, that's Grant or whatever, or, you know, oh, that's racist, or there's Jefferson, and he did these black kids, and then blacks. There are black people who fought on the other side, too. And when you run out the Confederate flag, there's a lot of black people who fought for the Confederacy.
My father fought in the United States Army in World War II. He fought in a segregated army, Jim Crow army. They wouldn't allow him to serve in the same division as white soldiers did.
Exactly.
And yet and still, he fought for this country because it was his country. Back then, in the mid-19th century, people looked at their states as the nation, not the federal government. They looked at their states. And their state, as far as they were concerned, whether they're right or wrong, as far as they're concerned, their state was invaded. And when your state is invaded, like the United States was invaded after Pearl Harbor, a territory of the United States was attacked, thousands of its service people were killed, and some civilians, and people, no matter what the grievances they had about the United States, they still flocked to the colors to join, and that included black people who had to serve in a segregated armed forces as they were putting their lives on the line for their country. Think about it.
Right.
It wasn't all that much different for many of the black Confederates, certainly not all, probably not even most, but many of them.
I agree. Hey, you know, Pat, I've never been to Canada. Do you guys have that, the racial? You got the black people who are
not,
French.
Not the same.
You got the French. You got the French influence in Canada. Is there a lot of racism in Canada?
We have more problem with the Quebecers than any colors.
Do you really?
Yeah, they wanted to separate. You know, they wanted to join France. France told them to go fuck themselves.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Damn Quebec.
Yeah, they still want to separate, and they want to control Canada, and they want separate rules. They want a different constitution. They are really ignorant people.
Yeah, they're still upset about the victory in the French and Indian War in 1763.
They are. They're stupid.
Wow.
And they shove French down everyone's throat, but they don't want any English in Quebec. No English signs, no English anything. They won't even speak English to you.
Damn.
They are so ignorant.
Wow. I guess every country has their thing. But and this ties up the Tucker Carlson thing. If you really are a true American, and you heard Sarge's story, I got stories too about my father, fought too. And they wouldn't let him on the train. And he couldn't wear his uniform. He couldn't wear his uniform in public when he came back. There's stories, you know, and they're trying to cut that out in Florida. I mean, these are all true stories. But what I'm trying to say, and this winds up, Tucker Carlson has the right for his opinion. It goes back to forget the details of what's been said and take out of context, because a lot of it is taken out of context. So you, hate brings in, let me tell you something, here's the real truth. Hate brings in billions and billions of dollars. Just remember, hate brings in billions and billions of dollars. Love doesn't bring in that much. Hate does. Hate brings in ratings, and it brings in opinions, and it stirs you up, and it gets you this, and this is what radio is about. I do the same thing. If you look at the title that I do, I'm not immune to it.
Right. I will title my show. Do you think that this country would need a First Amendment for speech that everybody agreed with? There would be utterly no need whatsoever for a First Amendment in a country where everybody agreed with what everybody else was saying. There would be absolutely no need for it.
Right.
But not only would it be boring, it would be superfluous. It would be unnecessary. The reason we have a First Amendment is because there is speech that a lot of people are just not going to like.
Right.
And we realize one of the worst things you can do is to try to suppress thoughts. They need to be expressed freely.
As long
as they don't meet the following criteria. As long as they're not an inducement to fraud, to crime, or to libel or slander. If they don't fit any of those things, you should be able to say anything.
You should. You should. And it's like, you can say anything as long as you don't offend me. That's a T-shirt. You can say anything you want as long as you don't offend me. And it's like, it's kind of true, isn't it? It's kind of true.
That's
you
the
know?
Way it's gone.
And speech does offend. Jokes. What are you going to do with comedians? That's all they do. Their jokes are to offend you and to mock you and to laugh at you. These are jokes, folks. And if we take away the opinion of people, we might as well just be part of the cogs in the machine. And they want us to hate each other. Hate brings in a lot of money. Hate brings in a lot of money. I hate to tell you, hate brings in a lot of money. It's a big business. Hate
the
is a great business.
The problem is people don't realize they're entitled to turn this stuff off when they're being brainwashed.
But it's hard to get away with. Cause, Pat, if you go to the grocery store, or you have a cup of coffee at Starbucks, or you have this, and the converse, if you're in any kind of group setting that has conversation going on around you, it's hard to escape it. It is really hard to escape it. But I hear what you're saying, but you're more curious. It's like a car wreck. You don't like to see it, but what the hell is going on here? Who's driving? Why did that wall jump out in the middle of the street in the children's zone? What's going on here? I mean, it's hard to get away from. But to wrap up the Tucker Carlson story, I think Sarge is right. I know that you guys said, oh, Brian's a liberal, and he's a I'm a Democrat, yes. But see, when you mess with free speech and you mess with civil rights, I am now your enemy. Because if you mess with free speech, I can't do the show. If you mess with civil rights, you're going to mess with my civil rights. And whether I agree with you or not, whether I agree with homosexuals or, you know, the gay rights or whatever, I may not agree with the lifestyle. But personally, I don't really give a rat's ass. A lot of my friends are gay, and I love them to death. You know, they respect me. I respect them. But I'm just saying, whether you agree or you don't agree, they do have the right to be who they are. They do have the right to speak what they want to speak. And they have a fabulous parade every year, just fabulous. But,
yeah.
You know, but you could just say, like you're saying, Pat, you could turn the shit off. And I'm just thinking if you accept the shit. You know, I have a problem with transgender. I kind of wrapped up the Tucker Carlson, meaning opinions should be opinions. And if you have an opinion, you should be free, because this is America, to speak your opinion. Whether you agree with Fox News, whether you agree with Rupert Murdoch, whether you agree with Trump, whether you agree with Tucker Carlson, you can listen and say, you know what, after he's done, I don't agree. Or I don't like this person, because Tucker Carlson is not so much his stories as he's the personality. That's what they're going to miss. Tucker Carlson's personality, that's who he is. It's his brand. Whether you agree with him or not, you have the right to listen to him or not, but he has the right to say it. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. We have been so, I don't know, sanitized or whatever, this cancel culture. We let these people get away with it, which is bullshit. Juneteenth is one of the things on my calendar that I think is such a bullshit thing to do. It's just, we have missed you. I just wanted to slap every black person who is for Juneteenth and what it's for. Because we could honor so many people like Dr. Charles Drew if you're going to honor somebody on Juneteenth. Like Martin Luther King, you should honor this guy. Anyway, that's me talking political stuff and wrapping it up with Tucker Carlson. Yes, I think he got a bun wrap. I think he has the right to express who he is. I think the liberal news, CNN, MSNBC, assassinated Carlson. I'm not going to use the word lynching because people love to use that word lynching because it's a trigger. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to trigger you. But they assassinated Tucker Carlson. I think Rupert Murdoch threw him under the bus. We got rid of our name guy, our big guy who's causing all this trouble. He was a coward, and he threw him under the bus so he can move on, thinking that the heat was so down. So that's all about Rupert Murdoch. Before you guys get upset, you got to go, who did it? Rupert Murdoch did it. Fox, he fired Tucker Carlson. Stop, the buck stops there. It's there. If Rupert didn't fire Tucker Carlson, he could have easily said, okay, you know, we've been sued. Let's tone it down a little bit. Okay, here's the guidelines for, you know, for about a month, and then fuck it. go back to what you're doing. But no, he fired a couple of people, and there was the ratings last week was surprisingly, since Tucker Carlson's spot on Fox News, MSNBC had the highest rating in Tucker Carlson's spot. People are leaving Fox News. I mean, just where Tucker Carlson's spot used to be, they're turning off. They're going to MSNBC, and that's ridiculous. Okay, so Tucker, I may not agree with you all the time, half the time, part of the time, but you have the right to say your opinion. This is what it is, guys. Don't get caught up in the mishmash and the wormhole, because what it is that we have America that we are now criminalizing people who can speak an opinion. That's basically what it is. Forget everything else.
Well, you know what?
We are criminalizing.
This is a Bud Light decision by Fox News. Tucker Carlson's two-minute video had more viewers than all cable news programming combined in a 24-hour period, 72.7 million to 53.1 million. What does that tell
right.
you?
That's right. Well, people also love an accident and love, you know, you got a lot of viewers. Let's just be honest. You know, people want them to hurt him. There are people who are tuning in and say, I want to see you cry. I want to see you suffer. And there's other people tuning in and say, hey, we cheering you on. We support you. So, you know what that's about. But I'm thinking, so he got the left side.
Tucker Carlson's famous laugh, is about to get a hell of a lot heartier.
Well, we'll see. I don't believe it. It's hard for me to believe it. He would have to stay out of the limelight for at least 5 years for that to happen. It's just too much right now. And you know as well as I do, Sarge, that Tucker's not talking about this. You know as well as and Pat, you know as well as I do that they gave him a severance pay that will blow your mind.
They still got his contract. He's still being paid by Fox News. They just took his show off the air.
I know, but I got a feeling. See, Tucker's not talking, and Tucker knows where the skeletons are buried. I think they're in the works.
He signed a waiver not to talk.
For him to do that,
I'm trying to get
sure
out of
offered...
contract. We can go ahead and do what he wants to do. That's what he wants
yeah.
to do. He's trying to get out of the contract.
Yeah. But that's probably what it is. But they're going to offer him something to keep his mouth shut, to lock him down legally, that if he mentions this or he does this, we're going to come back and sue your ass. That's how they're going to control him, and they're going to pay him off, I guarantee you.
You
Tucker
know
Carlson,
that he wanted to fight that Dominion lawsuit.
Well,
he
it would
did not
be his
want,
money.
He
would
did
be,
not want Fox News to settle, but that was a decision that was made way above his pay grade. He didn't want to fight.
Yeah, but,
he did not want to settle.
Sure, but we move on. We take our wins when we take our wins, and we take our losses. I think Tucker Carlson, I do agree with you, Sarge. It's a win-win for him. And,
oh,
and
he will crop
maybe he
up
wanted
again.
To move on. Yeah, he will. And maybe he'll move on. Maybe he wants to move on. Sometimes you've been in a place for like 5-6 years. I don't know how long he's been on the air. And you want to do other things. He's not hurting for money, trust me. He is not. He is not moving into a condo. And he's not living into a bad neighborhood,
and
trust me.
And people offer him $100 million deals, and that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He can write his own ticket right now, the way things are.
Good.
You ain't going to have
could.
No big sales time soon. This has not been,
hey.
I do not believe this has been a negative for him in the least.
No. No. In fact, made him more popular. All right, when we come back, the 63 shortest celebrity marriages ever. Talk about that. We'll talk about card giving because we got the former police officer right here. Because you guys don't really know how serious that is. You really don't know how serious that is. It just got in the news again. It's just out of control. Billions and billions. People with their EBT cards or their money is being drained by strangers. It's the biggest scam going on in California. I don't know about the rest of the world, but this is just unbelievable. And you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing the same thing to help the guys hurt you. And what are you doing? Well, we'll let you know when we come back. I'm going to drink another cup of coffee. Sarge is in the studio. The celebrity. Miss Futuristic Pat Oberlin is in the studio. And the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you into the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. And that's the number that Pat will give you a reading that will make you become an alcoholic. Like, what? I didn't know that. I'm going to start drinking. So.
Great pitch.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to need a scotch after this one. All right. We were talking about racism. In my opinion, I don't really care. If my doctor's a racist but he's giving me great care, I don't really care about his personal life. I don't care if he doggy styles, he likes to go anal with his wife and his girlfriend at the same time. I don't care. As long as they get a good care of myself. Maybe I'm narcissistic. I really don't care what's going on. You know, I'll tell you something that really – I don't know if you guys are – if you guys say yes, I'll tell you that something happened to me yesterday when I went to the doctor's office. If you want to hear it here, I know people, you know, you don't get inundated with it. We don't want to hear it anymore, Brian. Okay, Brian, I won't tell you.
Why not?
But, well, I don't know if you guys – I don't want to bore anything. See, I have this thing with my doctor, right? He's a young guy. We joke. I mean, every time they shut the door, they're hearing laughter, and they're going, my God. Even the people that are assistants going, Dorship, what are you guys laughing about? Every time he comes, and you're laughing. And I would say to my doctor, may the force be with you. He goes, and with you, my young Jedi. This is the kind of relationship I have because he's a young guy, you know, with him. Something really funny happened at the office yesterday. And if you want to hear it, just say, yeah, we'd like to hear it. And I'll tell you, no, Brian, move on.
I want to hear it.
I'll do that too. Okay, thank you. I don't know if Sarge wants to hear it, but when we come back, it's a little thing. It's a short thing.
Oh, it's interested in hearing what is burbling about in your fertile mind.
Okay, then I'll,
you know what they use to fertilize, don't you, by the way?
Yes, Brian's bullshit.
I'll just politely say compost for now.
No, it was just cute. It was just cute. I'll say it right now. It's not anything. So there was a questionnaire I had to fill out, okay? And now this questionnaire started getting really personal about do you drink, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So there was one question. And number 10, that struck me weird. It says, have you ever been molested as a child? And it struck me weird. He's like, why do you need to know this? So I put down yes.
Oh,
put down yes. So the doctor, Brian. And you know the doctor voice and the condescending voice, and his voice goes low. Brian? Yes, Doc. I'll tell you what, if you're listening, if you want to know, I'll tell you what happened. And he had a person there. It was another person. He said, do you mind? Well, he goes, do you mind so-and-so? He's a student. And do you mind if he sits in? And his name was Daniel. And this guy was about 6'3". Think of Doogie Howser. Doogie Goofy. Had the little glasses on and, you know, really, 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 how do you say it? Just really goofy. The kid you would pick on in school. He's like that goofy, you know. So he was there, and he goes, do you mind if he sits in? And I go, I don't mind. He goes, okay. So we get to this question. He gets to this question, and he goes, Brian, I want to talk to you about question.
Question 20.
Yeah, whatever, that's the question. And I go, I don't know the numbers of the question. I just know I answered the questions. And I go, okay, yeah, go ahead, shoot, because I didn't know what he was going to say. And he says, well, it's about, and he was uncomfortable. Yes, Doc, child molestation. I go, oh, that question. And his voice became really soft, and I go, and caring. I go, yes. He goes, how old were you, and do you want to talk about it? And this actually happened. Remember, we're high and close to her. There's Daniel, his assistant. And then I started bobbing my head back and forth, you know, just going back and forth, side to side, just my head. And he goes, do you want to talk about it? I go, Doc, I will talk about it. He goes, okay. And he gets his board and he gets his pencil and he's ready to go. And I go, oh, what a night. It was late September back in 73. Oh, what a very special time for me. Because I remember. This is what I was thinking. And then I said, and he didn't catch it yet. I go, oh, what a night. You know, I didn't even know her name. But I was never going to be the same. What a lady, what a night. And as I said that, Daniel says, oh, I got a funny feeling when she walked. He started singing it, and he's a doctor. Because he caught it. When he walked into the room, you guys remember the song, Oh, What a Night by Frankie Valli, and, you know. So Daniel started singing. As I then he goes, oh, what a night. So we started singing it. We started singing this. And then we got done, and the doctor looked at me and goes, only you can turn this molesting story into a hit. You know, only you. But can you imagine, you're in a doctor's office, the door is shut, the nurse is on the other side, and the assistant's on the other side, and they're hearing us sing, oh, what a night, on a molesting question. It was a great thing. It was funny. It was funny. That was it. That's what's dealing with me.
I've got such a serious doctor now.
Do you really?
Oh, God, yes, he's terrible. He's a nice guy and everything, but you can't joke with him. You can't.
Yeah.
You know, and he just doesn't know what to do with me.
Well,
because
you are a very imposing figure, Miss Pat O'Brien.
Me?
You are. Yes. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do. It's like, okay. I mean,
I'm a little old lady, for God's sakes.
Nah, that's what they may see, but inside you are a warrior and you are fire. You are just fire.
Oh, he seemed a little alarmed when he saw my tattoos 2 weeks ago.
What do you have a tattoo of?
I've got 12.
What?
Two are from tarot cards.
Okay. Oh, okay. I can see that.
Yeah,
Pardon?
Where are they?
Go ahead. Yeah, where are they?
Both legs on the calf, both arms on the forearm, both biceps, and
really?
My chest.
When you say chest, are you talking boobs?
Nope.
Oh.
No,
okay.
I didn't want to go there.
That could be very painful.
Well, it wasn't just that. You know, you just don't know about damage when you do something like that. So.
Yes. Do you have a tramp stamp? Do you have one on your back?
Nope.
Ah.
No, that was much later. I was getting these 30-something years ago.
And how are they holding up? I hear as you get older. Are they really? I hear 10 years later, some of these tattoos tend to, you know, not be the same. They don't hold up well.
It depends on the ink. It depends on the artist, what kind of ink they invest in.
True.
Because the girl I had was used very good inks, and 30 years later, they're still bright.
You remind me of a song. Baby, baby, you're a wild girl.
I don't go in the sun much, though. So that might be.
You're wild. You are wild, Pat. I can imagine all of us in a cabin, and you're walking around with a towel. Hey, everybody, going to bed now. All right, that's wild,
Pat.
Well,
maybe after that operation, but not before.
Maybe. I am a nudist, everybody.
Yeah, you keep threatening me with a cabin, but I don't see one.
I know. It'll never happen. First of all, it's so expensive to go to Canada, and it's so, and second of all, it's so expensive to fly you out and everything.
Oh, it is,
but it's
isn't
nice.
It, though?
Yeah.
It's a nice
spot. But, you know, it's nice to think, well, maybe there'll be a cabin in Washington, Seattle, and that you're close to the border and still close enough to come out. I don't know. Or Niagara Falls.
I don't know.
New
They've
York,
got so many rules now about crossing the border. I don't feel like getting a passport and all that.
Exactly. Exactly. It would.
You know, and
fun.
Besides, if they find out about my cannabis use, they might not let me across.
No, it's legal. It's legal.
Some places.
Fact, give you
it depends where you cross.
They'll probably give you a police escort. I know. Well, I used to go to
concerts in Buffalo, and I'd have 20 joints stuffed in my bra. And
damn.
Hash oil down my bra.
20 joints stuck in your bra. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a few of us going, and you needed a few. You know.
How were you as a teenager? Were you a wild teenager? I mean, you finished school, right? You
when
graduated,
I turned 18?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Severely.
Yeah. Okay.
Severely.
But
there's not much to do in Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Except get into trouble. Was that your middle name?
That's
Pat
what we were doing.
Trouble O'Brien? Overland?
Yeah, one reason I moved to St. Catharines.
St. Catharines. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble at St. Catharines. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
And there's your life with Pat. Look, wait for the book. When we come back, you're doing something that's really ridiculous. I'm talking about the audience. That's helping these people steal your money, and you have no idea what you're doing. When we come back, we're going to talk about card scamming. We got Officer Sarge here, and I'm going to get a cup of coffee. We are talking about Tucker Carlson, and we're talking about people should have the right to express their opinion. I go a little further. I think if you're racist, I don't really give a fuck if you're racist, as long as I get good care. If you're racist and you said you're going to open up a check stand so I can get through faster, good day, Mr. Racist, sir, and thank you. I don't care about your personal life, what you do, if you're a racist or not a racist. You'll probably be surprised. Can you imagine? I'm going to leave it right now. Can you imagine that you find out that your doctor's a racist? Can you imagine that maybe he belongs to an organization that is a supremacist organization, but he's giving you great care? Would you stop going to your doctor? You've known this doctor for 10, 15 years. Would you stop going to your doctor? You just found out this exposed? I mean, you got to start thinking about come to reality thing. Of course you would not. He knows your records. He knows your health. You're getting good health. This has nothing to do with his job and his and everything about his personal life. Should we judge people by their personal life? Should we judge? And that's what's happening in America. We are firing people because of their personal life. We are firing people because we don't like what they're saying. We're firing people because they may say a racist thing. Can you, I'm talking to you white people out there, can you imagine that you can't even go home and that you can't even speak freely because you're afraid that somebody has a recorder or somebody's going to record something that you may say something sexist. You may say something racist. You may say, and you're not really saying anything racist, but how somebody else can screw.
Interpret it, yes.
Or interpret it's racist, and then you could lose your job, you can lose your livelihood because of that. When are we going to grow up? I'm going to play this song. This guy is from Lucas Jr. Why I get a coffee, Lucas Jr. I like him. He's a black man, and the song is "I Am Not Racist." I played it before. I love this, and he's talking to a white guy. In the beginning, the white guy is sitting at the table with him. Lucas is on the other side of the table. He's black, and the white guy is telling him that he's fed up and he's sick and tired of it. And if you listen to him, I almost feel sorry for white America. And here's the song, "I'm Not Racist." I'll be right back. We get more coffee. Lucas Joyner.
With all due respect, I don't have pity for you black niggas. That's the way I feel. Screaming Black Lives Matter, all the black guys rather be deadbeats than pay your bills. Yelling nigga this and nigga that. Call everybody nigga and get a nigga mad. As soon as I say nigga, then everyone react. Wanna swing at me and call me racist, cause I ain't black. Pound that then. Talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the fucking ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. Alright, look. I see a black man aiming his gun, but I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my ass off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living off free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still tryna sell them for some weed and some liquor, or a fucking babysitter while you party on the road, cause you ain't got no fucking goals. You already late. You motherfuckers need to get your damn priorities straight. Wait. It's like you're proud to be fake, but you lazy as fuck. And you rather sell drugs than get a job and be straight. And then you turn around and complain about the poverty rate. Fuck out of my face. You can't escape problems. You can pray for some change, but can't break a dollar. Got nobody else to blame, so you blame Donald. They fuck the world with a Make America Great condom. My boy's been back. I'm not racist. My sister's boyfriend's black. I'm not racist. My sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black. My head's in the clouds. Heard it's not enough jobs for all the men in your house. Maybe we should build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Or maybe we should send them all to the ghetto for now. I'm not racist. And I never lied, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einsteins, study the Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god. Oh my god. And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet. And that's the nigga within you. Music rot in your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu. Blame it on those drinks. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on white privileges. Blame it on white kids. And just blame it on white citizens. Aim it the vice president. Watch your class clown. Niggas kneeling on the field. That's a flag down. How dare you try to make demands for this money? You gonna show us some respect. You gonna stand for this country, nigga. I'm not racist. I'm just prepared for this type of war. I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that motherfucker too. He ain't white no more. Just like you wanna be so famous. You'll do anything for attention and a little payment. I can't take you nowhere without people pointing fingers. Pants hanging off your ass. You ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up, nigga. Put that suit back on. Take that do-rag off. Take that gold out your mouth. Quit the pitiful stuff. And then maybe police will stop killing you fucks. So what the fuck? I'm not racist. It's like we're living in the same building but split into two floors. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story. I wish that I knew yours. I wish that I knew yours. I'm not racist. I swear. With all disrespect, I don't really like you white motherfuckers. That's just where I'm at. Screaming all lives matter is a protest to my protest. What kind of shit is that? And that's one war you'll never win. The power in the word nigga is a different sin. We shouldn't say it, but we do, and that's just what it is. But that don't mean that you can say it just cause you got nigga friends. Nigga. That word was originated for you to keep us under. And when we use it, we know that's just how we greet each other. And when you use it, we know there's a double meaning under. And even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not infected by the history. My grandmama was a slave, that shit gets to me. And you ain't got no motherfucking sympathy, you pussy nigga. I'm sorry, you can never fail my life. Trying to have faith, but I never felt alright. It's hard to elevate when this country's ran by whites. Judging me by my skin color and my blackness. Trying to find a job, and ain't nobody call me back yet. Now I gotta sell drugs and put food in my cabinet. You crackers ain't slick, this is all a part of your tactics. Don't talk about no motherfucking taxes. When I ain't making no dough, you think you know everything, but you don't. You wanna copy our slang and everything that we know. Try to steal black culture and make it your own. Whoa, fuck, I'm exhausted. I can't even drive without the cops trying to start shit. I'm tired of this systematic racism bullshit. All you do is false shit, this is shit that I'm false with. And you don't know shit about my people, that's what bothers you. You don't know about no fried chicken or no barbecue. You don't know about the two steps or no loose change. You don't know about no two chains or no Kool-Aid, you don't know. And even though Barack was half as black, you hated President Obama, I know that's a fact. You can't wait to get him out and put a cracker back. And then you gave us Donald Trump, and I was payback for that. I'm not racist. I never lied, but I noticed a disconnect between your culture and mine. Yeah, I praised Tupac like he was a fucking god. He was fighting for his life way before he fucking died, nigga. Die, nigga. And all you care about is money and power and being ugly, and that's the cracker within you. Hatred all in your brain that slowly starts to convince you. Then you teach it to your children until the cycle continue. Blaming on Puerto Rico, blaming on OJ, blaming on everybody except for your own race. Blaming on black niggas and blaming on black citizens. Aim at the black businesses. I ain't saying I'm innocent, but I might be any day now, treating everybody how you want in any way how. I swear North Korea about to bomb us any day now, and now I'm ducking every time I hear a fucking plane now. Shit. You know I make a lot of sense, but you just can't admit it. When Eminem went against Trump, that was the illest. Cause even though he's white, he let us know he's standing with us. I'm not racist, but I cry a lot. You don't know what it's like to be in a frying pot. You don't know what it's like to mind your business and get stopped by the cops, and I know if you about to die or not. You worry about your life, so you take mine. I love you, but I fucking hate you at the same time. I wish we could trade shoes, or we could change lives, so we can understand each other more, but that'd take time. I'm not racist. It's like we living in the same building, but splitting to both sides. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story, and now you know mine. Can't erase the scars with a bandage. Hoping maybe we can come to an understanding. Agree to disagree, we can have an understanding. I'm not racist.
Powerful piece. 612, you're live on air with Brian the Hammer Jackson. 612. Hello.
Okay, this is Facebook.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Hello, 612. You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind, 612?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, I noticed on the top of your show page you were bringing up Tucker Carlson and Fox News. I can get the sense that you're kind of maybe anti-Republican and Trump and so forth, right?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I'm a Democrat. What I'm saying is that he expressed an opinion. He said his opinion. And I think we're in America. Why can't we say our opinion? You may not agree with it. But should he be criminalized for it? Should he be fired for it? I mean, I thought this was America, that we have free speech and we're allowed to talk and say things. But until it offends some people, all of a sudden people are losing their jobs, they're losing their homes, they're getting divorced. What's your opinion on that? See, you have an opinion.
Right. If you look at politically in America right now, who are the people that are pushing this concept of censorship?
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question, because right now in the news, is, you could say Florida or white people, and you could go even further, saying they're banning our books, they're trying to get rid of black history, they're trying to erase us and everything. Who's doing that?
Yeah.
You can say white people are, or you're saying Florida do. But you're doing the same thing with Tucker
Carlson.
Left,
you don't think the political left at all is doing silence and trying to silence people, anyone who speaks out against the LGBT agenda? You don't see that on the floor on the other side as well?
Oh, I do.
All right, so, and which one is more dominant? Meaning, for example, would you get fired from your job if, let's say, you openly spoke against Republicans or Trump or
right.
Christianity
right.
or any of that? Would you get fired
right.
for your job from that?
You're damn
would
right.
You, would
in
your
a minute.
Workplace threaten them? Oh, come on now, really? You know you would
yeah.
get fired for that. And what you would get fired for is if you spoke out against the transgender thing. You say something against that, you're guaranteed you're going to get fired, right? Let's be honest.
If you want to be honest about Trump,
what are the chances your employer is going to fire you?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm black. Second of all, I'm a Democrat. And what I'm trying to say is that it's discrimination. If you do speak out against transgender, isn't that a form of discrimination?
Okay, so let's just define what we mean by that. I'm not talking about disparage them, mock them, belittle them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking
right.
about if you refuse to go along with it and say that a man that man who's pretending to be a woman is actually a woman. That's what we're talking about. Or
right.
the idea of now men who pretend to be women are now allowed to enter the women's bathroom or the women's locker room or compete against women in college
right.
in college sports. You got to now say that that's okay. That's
right.
what I'm talking about.
Right.
You, that,
well,
that'll get you fired.
Well, the thing about I'm in California. You're where? What area are you in?
I'm in Minnesota. I mean, you're in the that's where the LGBT thing is set up max, California.
Oh, wow.
My sympathies, brother. You're
well,
in Minnesota.
Here's Sarge. Sarge, gentlemen, 612, can we call you a name? Is there a name like you like to use on the air so we can refer to you?
Yeah, it's David.
David?
Yep.
Okay, David, meet Sarge. Sarge, would you like to reply to David? This is Sarge.
Yeah, I think David's pretty much hit it on the head. Yes, there is, but I'd like to make the following elaborations on that. There is censorship on both sides. There is. But I notice that the censorship from conservatives tends to be narrowly tailored. For instance, they want to exclude certain books from grade school children, with the school acting in the capacity of loco parentis as the parents for deciding what the children are allowed to see through what the parents want their children to be allowed to see. That's the kind of censorship that conservatives talk about. Leftists and progressives, the kind of censorship they want is either them to be banished altogether or, failing that, to be taken back and rewritten to remove parts that they deem to be offensive. And I think that's the big difference between the way leftists and progressives like to censor and the way conservatives do. It's very narrowly tailored. Usually it's aimed only at minors, for the most part, or in governmental institutions where the people who are being indoctrinated, if you will, cannot have any contrary opinion about it, like in the armed forces, like when you're ordered to go to a diversity, equity, and inclusion class. And you cannot say your honest feelings about what is being taught there because you're being ordered to go there. And if you say something that's against so-called policy, then it will go on your record as an adverse mark, or maybe even result in a reduction of rank or a change of assignment.
Pretty extreme. Pretty extreme.
Yep, I totally agree with
yes,
that.
Yes, Pat.
And that's part of the reason for me as a parent, for example,
to David?
I homeschool my children for that specific reason. And I'm for those of you, I don't know if you have children now, but if you have young children now, you know how big of an issue this is in schools, where the left is. They're on a full-scale war to try to bring in all this LGBT gender confusion, homosexuality, the young children. And I'm talking about explicit content, wherein they want books where it graphically shows kids how to do oral sex between a man and a man, how to do anal sex, how do lesbians engage in sex, in graphic detail for young children.
That's crazy.
Right? I know, and we recently had a school board meeting in my hometown where we're at, where parents brought the books and the stuff that were in the school libraries that the children were being presented and reading it out loud to the school board. And it was all graphic material, describing to a man having given a blowjob and what it was like. And they're giving it to young kids.
How old?
I mean, you think about that Florida bill that we saw. Remember that Don't Say Gay bill that the left and Democrats were going crazy about with DeSantis in Florida? That bill, all that bill was doing was trying to prevent, you know, LGBT books from being given to children between kindergarten and third grade. And the left called that homophobia, which is crazy. But it shows you how crazy these people are that they want to teach this stuff to children. And it shows you that there's an ulterior motive because they know that this stuff can be pushed onto children and that they'll embrace it because young children are impressionable. If a person of authority teaches them that, you know what, you might not be a boy, you might really be a girl, and that it's okay to question it. And then that's why we see this all of a sudden, this massive spike in young people thinking that they're the opposite gender. This didn't just happen by accident. This was done purposely, subtly, without a lot of parents knowing it. Most parents just found out in the last year, and that's why parents across the country are livid, and school board meetings are packed like I've never seen before. People are upset that what's being taught, and it was done in a subtle way. And the only way people found out was because of COVID. When COVID happened and kids went home, and kids had, and were doing those virtual Zoom meetings where their lessons are being taught over the computer, parents got to see for the first time what was being taught. That's all this stuff was found out. Had COVID not happened, most people would have still not known what they were doing.
That's
ridiculous. And you're talking about conservatives are a problem? Give me a break, man. These leftists are insane. And I personally think they're demonic, because only if someone is demonically possessed would want to teach a young children, you know, show them that kind of material and teach them that kind of thing. I mean, what reasonable person in their right mind would say, I should teach an 8-year-old about how to give a blowjob to a man? Come on, man.
I've actually seen these meetings where these where parents who are opposed to this sort of teaching to their pre-middle school children, where they attempt to read from the books that they are showing to the preschool children, and the moderator of the discussion, or the president or the council or whatever it is, will say, well, we can't let you read that because that's just inappropriate for this meeting. But yet and still it's appropriate for an 8-year-old.
There's something wrong with that.
It's really among the most astounding things I've ever seen. Here's a meeting with all adults in it, for the most part, all adults, and they are attempting to read from the very curriculum that is being presented to these young children, and the moderators are telling them, well, that's not appropriate. It's too graphic to be read here right now. It tells you all you need to know.
Well, in a defense of the school.
That is ridiculous.
In a defense of the school, wait, I'm going to have Pat comment on it. Pat, what are you're hearing the conversation, but then I'm going to make a comment in defense of the school. But, Pat, what's your feelings on this? You're from Canada. You're hearing stuff that's going on.
That is insane.
Okay.
That is insane.
Okay.
That is child abuse. That is sexual abuse, whether it's done by paper or done physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my thought. When I was in sixth grade, we had a thing called sex education, and they used to send us home with a paper that our parents had to sign that they could decide whether their son can sit in on this session. If your parents have the permit slip to say, okay, that's fine, then you go. But I do agree with David. What happened is that they have this new curriculum. I forgot what it is. We talked about it. That they don't have to tell the parents anything anymore. They just go ahead and start teaching this shit and go blah, blah, blah. And they don't have to tell the parents. That changed. Before, we had a permission slip. But on the defense of the school, let me just say this. We had sex education. So what's the difference if I'm in sixth grade and I'm hearing about how babies are made between a male and a female,
puberty.
And then I get this, then I sit, and I had to sit. I remember this, and I had to sit through an hour of actual childbirth. When I was
they never did that to us.
Oh, they did in sixth grade, and we seen actual childbirth, which I threw up and did not have lunch for about 3 weeks. But I'm saying that it didn't make me, even if we're talking about sex ed, and they had the little molds or whatever, and here's how it is, and this is what you do, and fertilize the eggs, blah, 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 blah. They didn't show porn, but you get the idea. They talked about it. It didn't make me want to have sex with my six-year-old girls that are in the room. It didn't make me become a pervert. It didn't make me think about sex. So I'm saying that you have to have a fair level ground. Now, when I hear that you're homeschooling your children, and I understand it with the killings and what's going on with the schools and everything like this, but is it hurting your child more, the risk that you're taking to pull them out, and that they're not really interacting with other children and not experiencing a lot of things? Are you hindering their social behavior towards other children by pulling them out of school and homeschooling them? David, that's the question I'm asking you. What is the worst of the two evils?
Yeah, that's a fair question. So, but before we get there, let's address something, because you, in your defense of schools, you try to compare it to the sex ed that you received when you were in school. Now, when you were in elementary, this is what, 30 years ago? 20 years ago? How long
Thank
ago
you. Thank
about?
You very much, David. Good night, everybody.
David,
yeah,
I hate
ahead.
To tell you this. It was probably 50 for me. So.
All right.
Right.
But you're right.
No, the only,
you're right.
The only reason
a,
I bring this up
it was
is
a
like
different
what,
time.
What you saw at school, yeah, it was a different time. What you and I, like I'm in my mid-30s. What I went to, what I had in school, what you had in school, we had what was normal. Okay, we were taught the basis of education, and even in sex ed, it was just simply explaining what sex was. You know, they talked
right.
about the organs, the process, birth, all that stuff. Just we're talking about stuff that's legitimate biology, educational type material. What they're doing now is completely different. What they're doing now is they're teaching children that they're literally trying to teach them that they might actually be the opposite gender. And now what they can do, and this is happening in California, in your state in particular, where they can give the child a new gender, a new name without you knowing it.
Right.
And now your insurance company can pay for a sex change operation without your knowledge of it.
Right.
And they can put your children on puberty blockers without your knowledge of it.
True.
So not only are they introducing this gender confusion to your child and indoctrinating them with it, they can actually have procedures done without you knowing it. And your insurance will
Holy
pay for it and
crap.
Not tell you.
I don't know about
this is,
that.
This is,
the pants
this is on a, this is on a completely different level. So we're not talking about some minor, they're just showing what homosexual sex looks like. No. They are brainwashing these children, and they are pushing them into this stuff.
Brian, look, the world's a difference between a study or a curriculum that describes biological processes and mechanisms and to try to explain the sort of psychological confusion that is engendered by going through puberty. That's one thing. That's the kind of sex education most people don't have a problem with. It is quite another thing to have a curriculum that describes certain specific sexual practices, even so far as naming them, telling you why they are a good thing, to tell you how many calories on a teaspoon of semen she decided to engage in fellatio, along with what a tossed salad is, and why it is desirable to have that as a new culinary regime. There is a world of difference between the former that I described and what they're doing now. And I became aware of this in the mid-90s when we were talking back in Chicago about the Gay, Straight, Lesbian Education Network that they were teaching in Massachusetts, much of which they were trying to conceal from the parents. And the parents found out about it and raised holy hell and instituted all kind of lawsuits. And believe me, it's only gotten far exponentially worse since then.
We have a different world here. Truth are, we got transgenders. We got people who think they're transgender. I personally think it's a mental illness, but have you heard the show? But since you haven't heard it, David, I'll personally say it. Personally, I think it's a mental illness. And I think when a kid is uncomfortable with his skin, it doesn't have to be sex. It could be anything. If a kid is uncomfortable with who they are, we're having a little breakdown here, and it could be mental illness, and it should be, and transgender should be in that category where we have a problem, and it's up to the school counselor to bring it to the attention of the parents. At that time, they could deal with it, because I do not accept Billy coming into school one day, and then he's going to, and then the next day, you know, he's in a dress, and because his parents says he feels comfortable in a dress and call him Charlotte. You're exposing your kid to beatdowns. You're exposing your kid to trauma. You're exposing your kid to something that they cannot handle and they don't understand. I think it is a form of abuse. And
yeah,
if you
Brian,
want to put it in,
this is a mental illness unlike any other. This is a mental illness that cannot be considered a mental illness, unlike depression or schizophrenia or paranoia or any number of things we regularly recognize as mental illnesses that require treatment when they become disruptive to someone's life. This particular illness is to be protected and even to be considered as a newly emergent ethnic group worthy of civil rights protection. That's what's unusual about this particular form of mental illness. That's what's abnormal about it. That's what we need to resist.
Well, the thing about it is, going back to David, is when you're taking your kids out of public school and they do go play with their friends are going to public school. You cannot protect them from what their friends are going to talk about, what they've heard, talked about in school.
Me and my wife are very careful about who we expose our children to because, again, like I said, this is not when we grew up. When I was a kid, my parents, I was out of the house the whole day. My parents never saw me. This
right.
is a different world we're living in. And so right now, and this is for anyone who's got young kids, you have got to take serious consideration as to what your children are being taught, what they're being exposed to, and really be careful about it because it's not just at school, it's online as well. This stuff is being pushed everywhere. Okay, so what we got, this is a full-scale war on children in this country right now. And any resistance, like we saw in Florida when DeSantis tried to put that bill in place to try to stop them from doing it to kindergartners through third graders, look at how crazy the left went. Look at how crazy the LGBT mob went. You saw that?
Right.
That lets you know they want the children. And there's a reason. This isn't just some, just because. They're doing it for a specific reason because they know that if they can get to them when they're young, they can get them down that path of transgenderism. They know that. They see what's going on. They know that this new climate, which puts these transgender kids on these pedestals, you have all these young kids who feel alienated, or maybe they get picked on, and all of a sudden they say to themselves, if I become transgender, everybody's going to like me. I've seen it firsthand happen. These kids all of a sudden feel like if I do this, I'll be accepted. That's why all these teenage kids are doing it. Exactly. There's this pressure that they put. And then on top of that, now the school's coming in and saying, oh, yeah, it's real. And they're pushing them to do it. And what they do to them, this is the part that's sick. This is not just, put on makeup and put on a dress and look like, no, they put them on puberty blockers. And the chemicals that they give them to be on puberty blockers are the same chemicals they give child rapists that girl, the castration method, chemicals to basically make you to where you can never have children again, sterilize you. That's the same stuff they give them that they call puberty blockers, which are irreversible. Then on top of that, they obviously the procedures, you can't reverse that either.
But
if you get a chance, you should watch a documentary by a guy named Matt Walsh called What is a Woman? And he goes in depth. He talks to all these psychiatrists, school officials, all these people about it, and he talks to adults who transgendered when they were teenagers, and they talk about the effects that they're dealing with as adults today and all the long-term effects that they have and how many of them are struggling. But they don't talk about that.
Are they putting people on these blockers? Are they getting parent consent, or they're just doing it without parent consent?
That's what I just told you earlier, brother. They don't have to get parents' consent. In your state of California,
Minnesota?
If you have a child in public school, in your state, in California, if you have a kid in public school, and they tell their school, their teachers and all that, well, I want to be transgender now. Let's say it's a boy named Jim, and he says, I don't want to be Jim anymore. I want to become Brianna. And the school will start calling him Brianna without you knowing it. And then the school will connect him with a counselor and a medical professional that will put him on puberty blockers without your consent or knowledge. They don't have to tell you anymore. And your insurance company will pay for a sex change operation without ever telling you.
Jesus.
That's the law in California right now. That's
and the state of Oregon just passed the law making it much, much easier, in fact, making it entirely conceivable or legal for the state to intervene should you deny your child gender-affirming surgeries and treatments and take that child from your custody.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying, dude? They're going all in. This isn't some small thing. These people are psychotic, man, and I'm telling you, it's demonic because there's no way a reasonable, rational person would want to do this. You have to have some kind of demonic influence on your mind to even want to do that to kids in the first place, let alone try to separate them from their parents or do the stuff behind their parents' back without their knowledge of it. I mean, what other reason would you have to do it? What would motivate an adult to want to do that to a child?
No, it's pretty sick.
Well, David, you seem to be, you're a very well-informed individual, but I'd just like to recommend another source of information for you that was very helpful to me. It's a book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters by Abigail Schreier. You might want to pick that up and read it if you can get a copy.
Yes, sir. I'll check it out. Thank you.
Well, these are the states that banned treatment for transgender youth. So if you live in Arkansas, they banned it. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. We have 52 states, by the way. So those are what?
Yeah, but think
10?
Of the baleful influence that we've got going on right now with the highest office in the land, the highest elective office in the land, recommending, approving of, supporting, and enabling this at the highest level of government enthusiastically, not reluctantly, proudly, happily.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, look at all the transgender people that are in the Biden administration right now. One of his officials, you can see, you can look it up right now, got caught. I think he got arrested for stealing luggage at the airport.
Sam Britton.
Yeah, Brian, if you have a computer, Google these people. Google the number of transgender people that work in Biden's administration right now.
Rachel Levine. The admiral, admiral.
I think there's three.
You got Dylan Mulvaney was prancing around the corridors of the White House not too long ago as a proud influencer.
Yeah.
And this is one of the big reasons why I will never vote Democrat again. This is bigger than just the normal debate on politics about tax policy, economic policy, foreign policy. The Democrats' social agenda with this LGBT thing is unacceptable. And to me, for that reason alone, I will never vote Democrat ever again until they stop.
But
if they're going to continue to go down this road, I don't know what sane person can vote for this. I don't know what you're looking at that's making you think, oh, this is a great idea. Let's try this.
Now, what happens if you – I don't know the kids, the gender of your children, but let's just say you have a son. What happens if your son brings home daddy can so-and-so, spend the night, and, he was Billy last week.
Absolutely
and, the family,
not. Not going to happen.
Now he's Sarah.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. I don't – like, this is – dude, I take serious the protection of my children. Because I've seen other parents who weren't proactive, and I've seen what happened to their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know if you got kids, but I'm not playing around.
I don't have
with
any
people.
Children. Right, right.
Okay, so anyone who has kids, if you really love your children, you know how I feel and what I'm saying.
But
a parent's duty to protect
your
child.
I understand completely. I'm with you 100%. But when I hear... And you have to help me with this because I'm trying to learn from you. I'm not trying to be argumentative or anything because I'm listening to you. But do you feel – I know the lesser of two evil. I'd rather have my kids home. We study and everything, stay away from that nonsense and what they influence. But then again, you take away a lot of the social life and graduation and friends and everything.
Oh, no.
And,
we have kids socialize. We have them play with kids. I just don't send them to that indoctrination camp that we now call public school. That's
but
what
how
saying.
Do – But, okay, when you say
Canada,
you play with other kids, do you go in the background of these kids? Okay, who's their parents? What are they teaching them? Are they Christians? Are they not Christians?
Of course I do. I make sure to know what type of children my kids are playing with. That's the duty as a parent. Again, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, it was a different world we were living in. That's why at that time our parents didn't. It wasn't a big deal. Like I said, when I was a kid, my parents didn't overly supervise us. They left us at home by ourselves all the time. And then it was okay back then because it was a safer, less crazy world. Now we got this world where these demonically possessed people are in positions of power and authority, and they're trying to engage in all these social experiments on our society. I'm not going to let my kids become guinea pigs. I'm just not going to do it. Now you might think, oh, what could be the worst thing that could happen? I'm not taking that chance.
Right.
Well, I don't understand why all these people can't wait till they're 18 to make their own decision.
I'm with you, Pat. I'm with you,
you to understand
it's
if you understand
same,
what the overall objective is.
The
overall objective
the voting
is to destroy
age.
The nuclear family. Because the nuclear
exactly.
family stands in the way of the neo-Marxist agenda. It just does. They identified that 100 years ago at the Frankfurter School, and all the people that in the wake of World War I couldn't figure out why the world didn't turn to international communism and Marxism. And they said one of the most important things we have to attenuate and weaken is the nuclear family. They've been busily working at it ever since. That's why they can't wait till you're 18, because you get the children, you've got the future.
And that's also why our society is the way it is on a relationship with men and women, and why we see this redefining of roles happening as well. Because they know if they can scramble things up, weaken the men, get the women to a position where they no longer respect men, and you have this disorganized situation like we have today, that's what their goal is. And we have people who are blind to this, who go along with it, who think, oh, this is just change for the sake of change. It's not. This is a clear-cut agenda with a purpose. There are people in power who are going to use this to their benefit. And they take advantage of the fact that a lot of people are naive and not paying attention. And it happens under your nose. And the minute you start to find out, you realize what's going on, and you speak out against it, they call you a conspiracy theorist. They think, oh, you're over-exaggerating it. I'm like, okay, look at how our society has changed since 2000 until now. What do you think America's going to be like in 15 years?
If we don't stop this.
Well,
yeah, they want to replace the family with the state. Make no mistake about it. They don't trust you to re-raise your children. You might not raise them the correct way. They know best. These oligarchical elites know what's best for you and your children. And your children, when they get a hold of them, they'll be able to indoctrinate them with the ideological zeal of young fanatics, and there is no greater fanaticism than that. That's why every totalitarian society always goes for the young, whether it's the Hitler Jugend, whether it's Mao Zedong and the Cultural Revolution, whether it's Pol Pot's people or the young pioneers in the Soviet Union. They always go for the children.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why Hitler said whoever has the children has the future. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're going for.
Well, David, do you think that the leftists or the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, are trying to groom your children young, or trying to put things in their head to groom them?
Of course they are.
Really?
Of course.
You think
and
that's
by the way, when I say Democrat, we're not talking about all Democrats. Because there's a lot of, you know, what I call classical Democrats who they just have a different view on, let's say, economic policy or how what the taxes should be. I have no issue with that, right? Most of my family are Democrats.
Right.
I'm talking about the leftists. What they call themselves progressives, who are really just like Sarge said, the neo-Marxists. They're basically, you know, communists. Let's be honest. They're the ones pushing these crazy ideas. A lot of them come from the universities, and they're the ones trying to push all this craziness on all of society. That's what I'm referring to. Now, those people are trying to do that 100%. Yes, they want to groom children.
And those kind of Democrats are being represented by a newly emerging wing of the Democratic Party that's been long suppressed. You can see it in the candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is speaking to the Democrats that Brother David was just speaking about. Those kind of Democrats are being long suppressed. Their voices are being completely disregarded in the Democrat Party. And now you can see those voices beginning to emerge.
Well, you know, we started from kids in school learning about transgender and explicit sexual conversation, and who knows, maybe even movies, who knows. But not letting the parents know what's going on in school, I mean, that's rough. That is freaking rough. I would lose my freaking mind. I would pull my kid out of school. I would be at every PTA meeting. I would make a ruckus. I would get people together. I would protest that school. I mean, it's outrageous. I can't argue with that. It's just outrageous.
Think about what Joe Biden and Merrick Garland did. And this ties into my point about Democrats. Those same parents that started going to PTA school board meetings and addressing these issues, Biden and his administration put them on terrorist watch lists and called them domestic terrorists. You can look this up.
Okay.
They did that.
Okay. I believe you.
So I'm telling you, this is who you stand with. When you're a Democrat, this is what you're standing with. I don't understand. This is not the old days but you would have thought the Democrat Party would. If you vote Democrat, you're voting for this. You're standing with
not
these
necessarily.
Psychopaths.
Not, oh, 508. You,
if this is what
minute,
your president
second.
Does, this is what he stands for. If he
well,
thinks
that
parents
might,
who speak out against the stuff
what,
are domestic terrorists, that's all I need to know about who he is
well,
and what he believes.
Well, Republicans are not absolute, as well as Democrats who are not absolute. We have conservative
no, Democrats. Republicans
got,
are not even
got,
close to anywhere near as bad as the Democrats right now because they're not pushing it. You tell me one thing that Republicans are pushing on society that is anywhere near to what we're talking about. Name
I
one
don't
thing.
Know. I can't.
Of course
can't.
You can't because
there
is
really
not. There's
isn't
nothing.
The only complaint I have about the Republican Party is that they are frequently cowardly, ineffectual, and feckless. But beyond that, no, they're
exactly.
not pushing the kind of radicalism that these Democrats, I mean the leadership activists in the Democrat
well,
Party are. Not even close.
Well, how do you feel about, okay, last exit question. How do you feel about DeSantos going against Disneyland and because Disneyland was promoting the transgender community and things like that.
That's not what they
so
were
he's
doing,
at war.
Brian. That's not
he's
what
at war
led
with
to
mouse.
This. That's not what led to this. They were actively opposing a policy passed by the legislature of the state of Florida. They were actively doing their best to undermine it by their activism while they enjoyed a special provision unknown by any other corporation in the state of Florida to run themselves as a self-governing entity. And so to say,
well,
say, well, if you're going to undermine the will of the people, as is expressed through its lawful and constitutional legislation, then guess what? You're going to lose your special governmental status.
Okay.
And I
but
say,
there's a flip,
good on you, brother.
There's a flip side to it. Disneyland, Disney World is bringing in billions to the state of Florida. Billions of dollars
for what?
To the state of Florida. So it's not
for
like
what?
It's a free ride.
You don't
know,
have a spoon long enough to sup with the devil, Brian.
That's what I'm saying,
just
man.
Saying.
Come on, bro. But I know you're
saying.
Trying to do the devil's advocate argument, but I'm asking you personally, your own personal opinion. Are you
yeah.
actually on board with what they're trying to push on kids? Do you actually think this is right?
As far as Disney World is concerned, yes. I see no problem with that. I see no problem
what?
With it. The fact of the matter is that there's kids who are transgender. That's it. What I personally believe, I think that should be rectified as mental illness and they should get help. But that's me. But there are transgender kids living among us. What do you want us to do with them? Put them in a camp? And
we're not talking about that. We're talking about them trying to convince children to become transgender. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
I'm not on board with transgender kids. I'm not on board with that. I'm not on board
but
with
Brian,
that.
But,
Brian,
you seem to have this cognitive dissonance between one being part of the other. They are trying to make it normative. They are telling these children this is normal, natural, and even desirable.
But you're talking two different things.
And they go hand in hand. It's not just tolerance.
No. But you're talking to one, making them knowledgeable of it. Another thing is actually grooming them to accept a life that you may want to be in that lifestyle. That is such an exciting life.
Come on, Brian. Brian, you just said it's a mental illness, which I agree with. They know it's a mental illness, by the way. Okay?
Yeah.
They're playing, they're pretending that people are born this way when they know it's not true. I'm talking about the experts, the elites that are behind this. They know that it's not, you're not born that.
So wait,
that
David, Well, let me ask you a question. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm looking at the time right now. When you said they're not born that way, do you believe that gay people were born that way?
Of course not.
Yep.
You don't?
Okay, let me just give you a quick history of this. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what the DSM is? It's sort of like the Bible or the encyclopedia of psychological issues and illnesses. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not, but go ahead. Continue. I'm not.
Okay, but it's called the diagnostic. I forgot what the S stands for, and the M is manual. Anyway, every couple years they come out with
a manual. The diagnostic
yep, that's it.
Is a manual of disorders.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So every couple of years they come out with a new volume, and it's basically like an encyclopedia of all the different mental illnesses that they're aware of, and they just categorize them and they take record of it, right? Up until 1974, homosexuality was in that same manual in the DSM-4 as a mental illness. Up until 1974, it was categorized as a mental illness. Now, there's a whole section of mental illness called paraphilia. You know, you've heard
yes.
of pedophilia. There's something called
yes.
paraphilia. Paraphilia
right.
is a category of mental illnesses that cause people to be sexually attracted to some of the most random objects. For example, people can be sexually attracted to a fence, to a balloon, to animals, to just random inanimate objects. And, in fact, TLC did a whole did a documentary on I think you can find it on YouTube of actually interviewing people that have paraphilia. They interviewed a guy who's sexually attracted to balloons. They interviewed a woman that has sex with fences. They interviewed another man who I think he was having sex with dogs. But
right.
this is a whole category of mental illness that's called paraphilia. Homosexuality
right.
used to be in that same category as paraphilia.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. and so because so the, cause they knew that sexual attraction can be modified by a mental illness. They knew that. Now, the LGBT activists actively pressured the psychological committees and psychiatric boards during the 70s in particular to get rid of that category, to take homosexuality out of that and claim that it's somehow normal or you're quote-unquote born with it, which is a total lie, and they've known this for the whole time. That's the only reason they took it out of that category, because they were pressured to do it by these activists. Now,
right, and not only that,
you know,
when they
fact,
made that change,
yeah.
they introduced no new medical evidence as to why they should. They did not introduce
exactly.
anything that had to do with psychological sciences that would compel them to make such a change. It was strictly
yep.
political.
Political, and they admitted it, too. They put out a letter admitting that they were doing it for political reasons. They acknowledged up front, we're not doing this out of new evidence or research. We're doing it strictly for political expediency, because they were getting pressured heavily. They were having activists show up at their meeting, protesting, you know, like they do now. So that, they were trying to get the heat off their back. That's why they did it. Now, we had what was called the Human Genome Project just during the 90s and 2000s, where they mapped out the entire human genome, both the X and Y chromosomes. And there were certain activists who were convinced that through that project, they would be able to find the quote-unquote gay gene to prove that homosexuality was genetic. And when they, after the project was completed, there was no gay gene. So it's not genetic. So people are not born gay. We know that now to be a fact. So they know this. But they're telling the general public, oh, people are born gay. It's a lie. You know how many people, for example, go to prison straight, come out of prison gay? Because homosexuality can be brought on to you through a traumatic event like getting raped, which is why the vast majority of homosexuals were molested at some point in their life, in particular when if it happens to you when you're a child. And that traumatic event can lead to you having paraphilia, which is why most people who have paraphilia usually were molested. And I'm talking about the other categories of people who, for example, have sex with balloons or fences or animals. Almost every case of that, it stems from them being molested or abused at a young age. So this stuff is not told to the general public. And these people, they know what they're doing. That's why they're teaching it to young kids, because they want to expose young children to graphic images of two men having anal sex, because they know that that can have a traumatic effect on the brain and increase the likelihood of them either becoming homosexual or transgender. They know what they're doing. And they're taking advantage of people being naive to these facts that we're bringing up, because this stuff isn't presented to the general public for a reason. Because a lot of these LGBT activists, they're in the government, they're in the media, they're in the education system, they're all over the place. And they said this back in 1993. There was actually a book put out about the LGBT agenda, what their goals were. And they stated back in the early 90s, they were going to get into the education system, they were getting into all levels of government and bureaucracy, they were going to get into churches, they were going to get into all areas of influence, media, Hollywood, everywhere. And they were going to make homosexuality normal, and then they were going to indoctrinate children into becoming homosexual. They said this in the early 90s. This is coming to fruition today.
Well, you got a point. You wonder, in the United States, if you're saying gay is an abomination or is a mental disorder,
can we at least agree that it's deviant, for God's sake? It certainly isn't anywhere
within the normal range of human sexual behavior. I don't know.
It's at least deviant, is it not?
I don't think I could get on board with that. But do you know, and it's really interesting, do you know in the United States the population of gay people. It only makes up 5.6% of the population. 5.6% of the population identify as LGBTQ. That's very small. It's very small.
It is.
Not with people under the age of 35. You can look this up, Brian. Anyone listening, you can Google it. Look at the percentage of people under the age of 21 that now identify as LGBT. It's like 40-something percent.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's exploding.
Oh, it was 25%, but either figure is alarmingly high.
Wow. And why is that, you think? The grooming? Or how that we're forced to accept
it? It's the internet. It's social media. It's social media, regular media, and education all working together.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be surprised at that. We're not number one. The countries who identify themselves as LGB or liberal rules or whatever, you're not going to guess who's number. Guess who's number one? We're not number one.
I don't
think we are. India is number one.
Somewhere. Okay.
Number two, you're going to really be shocked. China is number two. And
really,
we're number three. And I'm shocked at that. We're number three. We're number three as a population.
What are these numbers representative
based on numbers.
Of?
You're talking about total number?
We're talking about total number of people who identify with the LGBT.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course it would be China and India because they just have more people. I mean, they got a billion plus populations in both countries. I'm talking about by percentage.
And they've also been doing a lot of sex
different.
Selection for males because, especially in China, they were doing a lot of sex selection for males, and they've got an induced disproportionate ratio of men to women in China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing in India with that Hindu religion. They a lot of times they kill off the young girls. They don't want obviously both cultures don't want female daughters or you know baby girls. So they kill them off. That's why you got way
same
too many men,
Nazis.
Which would make sense why they do that. Why they have
same
more
with sexual. The Nazis, honey.
I'm just saying, Brian. I don't know if you've heard this stuff before, but I'm just telling you that there's a lot more to this LGBT agenda than they're making it out to be. And that, you know, there's elites that are out there pushing. This is not some organic movement. There are billions of dollars behind this.
Sure. True.
Canada is number 32 as far as liberal as being accepting the LGBTQ community, Pat, just in case.
32, eh?
Yeah, number 32.
That's because
you think
we
Canada
have so many immigrants that are against it.
You know, that could be it. Yeah,
thank God
you know,
for that.
I don't.
You know that
you
homosexuality
know,
is illegal in most of the world today? In most countries,
well,
like
sure.
in Africa, Middle East, Asia,
sure.
even in South America, it's a crime to be homosexual.
Well, at one time, black people marrying white people were illegal, too. Was that right?
Oh, but they,
yeah.
come on, don't
these
call
are
don't, don't
don't
those things together.
No,
not
no,
the same
upset
thing.
The apple cart
they used to call us.
It's not
interracial
the same thing, brother. Come on, man.
New throughout the history
I'm
of man.
Black, you're black. I think Sarge is black. Let's be honest. We never had to come out of the closet as black, okay? Come on, man, stop it. You can't put being black or in homosexuality anywhere in the same category.
People always
okay?
married each other. Same-sex marriage is something new within the last 50 years or so.
Yeah.
In the last 30 years.
to talk about it conceptually, I mean, when people are actually advocating for it on a fairly broad scale, that only goes back 50 years. And as a legal reality, it's even less time than that with Obergefell versus Hodges in the United States in 2004.
And even politically,
it's
less than that, because if you remember the 2008 Democratic primary between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, both of them were on record during those campaigns saying they opposed gay marriage, because at that time in 2008 it was like a big deal. So think about it. The leading candidates of the Democratic Party in 2008 opposed gay marriage.
Yes.
That's why they came to Canada to get married.
Well, then later he changed his mind and said love is love. And depends on the
world.
Of course.
Because the tides had swung enough to enable him to be able to do it. He put his finger in the air, wet his finger, and saw which way the wind was blowing. And so he said, I can come out the closet on this now.
All politicians do it. They got to keep their job, man. It's not right. And that's why, you know, it's funny when people protect politicians, which is the worst scum of the earth and the most liars to you and sway whatever, because they need that vote. Keep a job. And, you know, I'm on the final note, because I have to go to the credit card skimming, because I teased it a lot. I would be scared to have my kid in school today, in grade school. I'm being honest with you.
Oh, I would be too.
School. With the guns going, you know, imagine having your child coming home, and what did you learn today? Well, we learned to duck under our desk because some crazed gunman is coming to our school, so we had to do gun drills. I mean, or we're being taught of transgender, and our teacher's a transgender, and they came to festival day, and he was dressed like a woman, and we didn't know what to say, and I can't say anything because the other kids, we have to accept it. And I feel different or feel weird.
Caught that guy
I feel different or feel weird that I don't accept it. Yes, Pat.
Brian, they caught that guy without a Z-size boobs on at a mall the other day.
Damn.
That teacher that was in the Canadian schools with the big boobs.
Really? It was a guy?
They found him without him in public going shopping. And they said to him, so how come you had to wear it in the school and you're not dressed like that here? What's
right.
wrong with you?
Exactly. See, I don't understand that. Why are they bringing it? I mean, a lot of teachers got busted over the year because they're acting crazy like that. And they brought it into the schools. And it's just craziness, and that's mental illness. On top of it, they should be fired right away. But like I said,
he wasn't fired right away. He was put at home with pay to keep the parents happy.
Yeah, because they can't fire him. If they fire him for that reason, they'd have a lawsuit. They know that.
That's true.
They would?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, of course they would. 100%. I mean, dude, the LGBT, the power they have, I don't call them LGBT, by the way. I call them the Rainbow Mafia because that's how they operate.
Mm.
They shake down corporations.
Right.
They shake down governments. I mean, they have complete and absolute power in this country. It's unbelievable. But to your point about I'll just end on this. You thought about the transgender thing. There are two things that happened in the last year and a half. In Virginia, about 2 years ago, there was a boy who claimed to be transgender who went into the female's bathroom, raped a young girl. Okay? The school then covered it up because it was right before Pride Month, and they didn't want the bad press. They literally said this. It was in the email. The emails came out. They caught him with that whole thing. And the father who went to the school board meeting was upset about his daughter getting raped by this transgender male. They ended up having him arrested.
Wow.
At the meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, yeah, so just to let you know how crazy these people are, that they would cover up something like that to protect their agenda. That just shows you mentally where they're at. The last thing is that last school shooting in Tennessee, that was a transgender kid who went and shot up a Christian private school.
Right.
And what did you see in the media the week after? All these people coming out saying, how dare we misgender that school shooter? Because it was a female claiming to be a male, and people were referring to her as a her and using her female name. And all these people came out of the media saying, why are we misgendering her? A school shooter.
Right.
Why are they stalling the release of the Tranny Festo? Why are they stalling it? Why don't they want us to see it? We could see the Louisville shooter's manifesto right away because in it he had said that he wanted everyone to see how easy it was for somebody who was mentally ill to have a gun and shoot people. We could see that one right away because that conforms with the agenda of the progressive left. But this Tranny Festo, they are keeping that under lock and key.
Well, you know why they're doing that. We all know this, just like what David said. You know, it's just a political hotbed. It's a political hot thing. What do you do? Our kids are forced to accept things that are uncomfortable. I understand the overall view. And I went to the other kids. It's like the straight kid in the school, and some of them, the teachers were flittering around, you know, talking about transgender and everything, and he doesn't like it. He's taught, you know, he's a religious person or whatever, and he knows that this is not right. What about him?
They don't want us to see the depths of the degeneracy of their hatred for people who oppose them and will not accept them for what they are.
You're right.
The way they think
and they
ought to accept them. They don't want us to see this. They don't want to see this psychotic nature.
Right. Well, that's what my beef is with them.
It's the same thing they do with police brutality, by the way. It's the mainstream media knows how to you know, trigger people and to influence them by only showing them, for example, they only show when a white cop beats up a black person. They don't show you videos
right.
where white police officers beat up, like, for example, an old white woman that recently came out who refused to get out of her vehicle and the cop dragged her out of her car, tased her, beat her with a baton, kicked her in the face. We're talking about a 75-year-old white woman, right? But they're not going to put that out. No, I'm serious. They're not going to put that out because it doesn't serve their agenda. But if it was a black cop doing that to an old black woman, you guarantee that's going to be in the evening news. Because they're selective with it. That's why I meet, for example, as a black person, I meet young guys. This is because I'm from Minneapolis when the whole BLM protests were going on. And I would talk to the young guys out here burning and looting. I would ask them, you guys are acting like black cops only shoot black men. And I asked them, and they told me, I've never seen a cop shoot a white person or beat a white person ever. And I showed them countless cases and videos of it, and they were shocked. They never knew those things even happened. They genuinely believed that cops only shot and beat up black people. That's it. They thought that white people never got shot by police, never get assaulted, never get beat up at all. And that's because of the media.
I agree.
So these people have an agenda. They know how to manipulate people, and that's what they do. And that's why they don't cover things that don't go against their agenda, and they only put out there what goes with it. That's why a person like yourself, I guarantee you, you probably thought, you know what, these Democrats are awesome, like you say. You think they're great. They're somehow good people. They're not evil. They're not maniacal. They're not trying to destroy the country. You're probably going to still vote Democrat anyway, too, right? I guarantee you next election you're voting blue, right?
I am a Democrat. I'm proud to be a Democrat. I am not a pedophile.
Look at that. You're proud to be a Democrat.
I am not a
unbelievable.
I am no, it's
That's
not
crazy.
Unbelievable. I love the Democrat Party. I put a big B
wow.
on my hat, but I am not a pedophile. I don't believe that I put children in a pizza place and they're under some kind of basement.
You just don't mind to
children.
Stand with those people. That's the only thing, right? You're not a Nazi.
You know,
you just don't mind standing next to Nazis. That's kind of your position.
Each side, even the Republican on the right, they're extremists like Nancy. And I mean, there's extremist people on each side. You got the Proud
Give me an
Boys
example
or,
on the Republican side. I hear people try to make it seem like they're equivalent. Give me one example. Give me a negative thing about Republicans.
Yeah,
other than political
one.
Corruption, name me something.
Well,
they're
we're out of time now.
Actually implementing policy now, not just says things that you might not agree with.
I want to thank David for coming into the studio today. I want to thank
No, keep it real, Brian. Yeah, I've never met a Democrat in the last 5 years that can tell me one thing that's actually bad about the Republicans. From a policy standpoint or anything.
The Republican
other than
Party,
I don't like Trump because he's mean. I don't like Trump because he tweets bad. I don't like Trump because
like
he insults
because
people.
He's
that's
idiot.
All I hear from people.
You know, Democrats.
Yeah, come on, one
Democrats.
Thing, give me one
I mean, if it wasn't for Democrats, you would not have. I mean, I don't think a lot of you guys would have made it through the pandemic. Trump would have.
Oh, come on, get out of here. Get out of here, Brian. Don't even go down that road when it comes to Democrats and how they handle COVID. For God's sake, you live in California, for crying out loud. Look at how your officials, which are Democrats, look at how they handle the pandemic and the lockdown they put you guys under. Are you kidding me?
I got money. But we can go to this
conference.
Oh, my
God. Like, oh, you are, okay. I can understand that, Brian.
Listen, you guys were great. I want to thank David, the
okay.
caller, for coming
yeah, thank
David,
you.
Thank you for calling in today. It was great conversation.
Bye, David.
I want to thank the beautiful Pat, the psychic, for coming in and reading me today and knowing that my relationship is doomed. Thank you, Pat.
No, it isn't.
Okay. I want to thank the great Sarge. And it looked like he met his soulmate, David, and David may come back again. Thank you, Sarge.
I hope he does. We're going to tag team your ass, man. That's what we're going to do.
I know. I know you will. Thank you guys for coming in. Tomorrow is Friday. I got an appointment early in the morning. So the only thing I can say is I love to go up on a Friday. I hate not going up on a Friday. I don't know when my appointment is, but look for me around 10 o'clock maybe. 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 10, 11, 1 o'clock your time. I will set the show up tonight, so you have plenty of time to know when I'm on. Thank you for supporting
okay,
Brian Hammer Jackson and me. I appreciate
great.
It all
I
you
like
guys.
A
lots of love. Yeah. I know. Well, lots of love. You got nothing but love for y'all, even if you're a Republican.
Bye.
Love, love, love. All right, guys.
Bye, Brian.
When are you going to be back, Brian? When are you going to be back?
I think I'll be back tomorrow around 1 o'clock your time, sir.
Okay, we'll see about that. All right, whatever.
Okay, I will. Hey, be safe, Sarge. Thank you for coming in. I'll talk to you later. Bye, everybody.